Today's show is brought to us by a new sponsor, GlobalHypernet.com.
GlobalHypernet.com?
What is that, Billy?
Not GlobalHyper.net. GlobalHypernet.com.
What is GlobalHypernet.com? What can I do there?
Well, first of all, Matt, this might sound familiar to you.
Because it sounds like I created this.
Yeah, or Homer Simpson for that matter.
Yeah.
So this is a straight-up reference to an actual Simpsons joke. But GlobalHypernet.com is a place where you can go to ask and answer questions, create and comment on forums, create and fill out surveys. So it's kind of like a Yahoo Answers, Survey Monkey kind of thing.
Okay.
I said that weird.
Yahoo Answers.
That's all he says that now.
Yeah. And here's the thing. These guys, the script they wrote
this is
up
just
here,
a really weird ad read.
Well, here's the actual read, right?
Go for it.
GlobalHypernet.com is simple. No points, no best answers, no likes, no top users. You can create an anonymous user if you want. Just create or look at whatever interests you. Want to know what Mamoru means? Ask.
Don't really know.
Want to talk about how Two Snacks hasn't made a Two Best Sisters video in over a year? Create a forum.
A year?
Want to know exactly what percent of people got the good ending in Army Revelations 2? Create a survey. That's the actual thing.
That's the paper that came into your email.
They know us.
So someone's been paying attention.
And that someone is GlobalHypernet.com.
GlobalHypernet. What a good name.
If you want to go talk about other weird brand names such as the Pro Gear Mega Spec or whatever.
Homer would be proud. Named closely for the CompU Global Hyper Mega Net, as you might recall.
CompU Global Hyper Mega Net.
Okay, but that's not the name.
No, we don't want to confuse you. Once again, it's GlobalHypernet.com. What the fuck?
I don't know.
Go there, ask what it is. You'll find out.
We have the documentation, and we're sitting around like, what is it? Like a mystery.
I love this.
Go to the site and then ask a question on their form saying, what are you even? And you'll get a variety of answers, I'm sure.
From other people that are also there to ask that question.
This is wonderful.
All the cool kids are going.
I love everything about this.
More mystery sponsors.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why does Moonraker rock?
It doesn't.
But people think it
Jaws
does.
Jaws is in it. That's cool.
Okay, the Moonraker laser is really cool.
Oh, yes. But that's the one thing that the GoldenEye, original game was like, let's take this thing from Moonraker.
Let's excise the safe bit from this.
Yeah.
That's all I think about when I think of Moonraker.
I know that's how...
The only thing
you
when you think of Moonraker is GoldenEye.
And the gun
actually
is in the game.
Yeah. Whenever I think of Moonraker, all I can think of is how moon lasers aren't as cool as lasers pointed at the moon. Mm-hmm. And then I think about your
Or the moon pointing lasers at Earth.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like that as much.
But that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess.
There's a lot more lasers.
Point
on the
just
moon
right
than on
chair
Earth.
Face on the moon, and then you fuck up and get chaw.
The moon turning into a giant laser pointed at the Earth is pretty scary.
Piccolo shooting lasers at the moon.
Cathedral
the moon
Terra.
Fighting Piccolo.
Yeah. Piccolo, wouldn't you blowing up the moon cause horrific catastrophes on Earth?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Super Saiyan.
Shut up. Shadow planets, right?
Shadow
all that
planets.
Kind of shit.
Or war. No! Oh my god! What's your faux pas there?
Shadow Raiders,
planets.
I fucked up.
It's okay.
I fucked up.
Somebody
it's okay.
doesn't care about
I'm
mainframe entertainment.
Yeah,
not anymore. I don't.
And that's anyone.
You mean Rainmaker?
No one cares.
Don't give them the dignity.
No.
They tried to switch it back, but don't give them the fucking
Rainmaker
dignity.
Still
go back
awesome
to Barbie Horse
name
Adventures.
To your company.
Christ.
Anyway.
Don't get me started.
What a good way to start today's podcast, which is like the feel baddest.
Episode 91.
No, that was last 91. Week.
91, we're almost there.
91, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We're almost there.
To the grand finale. This
100, the last episode of the podcast.
It's all been building up.
Exactly. This podcast is now brought to you by a colostomy bag that we are all forced to wear.
No, the episode 100 reveals that the entire podcast was just a work.
It was a worked shoot.
It was a worked shoot.
No, it was our pipe bomb.
It was a it was a really long one that lasted like 2 years. Mm. But there you go.
Oh man,
Everyone, all right?
A little sleepy. Yeah. The warm weather's doing it.
It's nice. It's like summer feeling. It's not summer either. It's spring.
All the hot boys be wearing all their booty shorts, and yep. I went out.
Liam's in full on sandals mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Liam looks like my cabana boy.
I got a great new pair of sandals. It's the same pair as last year. They're great.
How is that a great new pair of sandals? This is the same.
Hey,
one.
They're Liam.
Fresh. Oh, okay.
Liam, my grandpa. Asked, can he have his sandals back?
No, he cannot.
Because they're
he
could
fight
sandals.
Me for them.
They're not even cool, stylish sandals.
I only ask
they're
that comfy. You take the socks sure. off before you put them on. That's all I want you to do.
Well, he does.
Yeah, you're not a samurai.
All right, so let's just start with the retcon.
Oh that, yeah, before we even do
is,
our weeks.
That is, Mothman and Mike Zero Dude and everyone else reaching out in slow motion.
Just trying to contact us
during last week's podcast to tell us that Steam backed down.
While we were recording the podcast.
And it wasn't like, hey, this story happened and then we moved on. We talked about it for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. More than that.
So
now, granted, it might come back and all of our statements are valuable for any future discussions of this kind of thing.
Yeah, so go back into the past and listen to the old podcast.
But
Steam candidly apologizes for not understanding what it was doing.
That statement that Gay put out was awesome. It's like, oh man, we really fucked this up, didn't we? Whoops!
I kind of find it hard to believe that no one would have thought to see this coming, though.
Well, here's the thing. Gabe talks about it in the thing. It's like, okay, how much money could we possibly make on this over time? Like, what, $100,000? The amount of emails hitting their Valve web server thing or whatever cost them $3.5 million over the weekend.
Right.
So there's no way that they thought this was going to happen.
Mm. Yeah.
There's no way. Nobody makes up... If you made a fucking $3 million fuck up on the podcast, you would not go, oh, I knew that was going to happen.
You know, and like, they handled it the way anyone should. They handle it the way we do when we fuck up. It's just straight out, hey, yo, we fucked up.
Get rid of that shit. I don't recall us ever fucking up.
Well, you and I never did.
No, we didn't. Oh, no, yeah, never. Yeah. Not us.
No, just golden children.
Never.
Right? Yeah.
Never.
So
I didn't fuck up yesterday at all. Shut up, Wooly.
Good on them for reverting it, but never should have done it in the first place. It's the kind of thing where it's like, if people wouldn't have been as loud, they would have gotten away with it. So,
yeah, and it's also just like, you know, do a little bit of research, talk to some people.
I maintain what I said last week was their lack of communication ahead of time. I wouldn't even say that's the biggest problem.
Like this, the fact that they were able to do it and then roll it back so fast, like a total lack of foresight with everything, with Greenlight, with early access, with this. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone there is either naive or hopelessly optimistic.
A couple of board meetings. Or rather, a couple of desk rolls. And that connected together.
Hey man, we're gonna let the community vote on games. What could go wrong? Oh shit! Mm-hmm. Oh, we're gonna let people pick charge for mods. What? You know, everyone should. Oh shit!
Can't wait to play Skate Man.
You can't wait to play Skate Man.
Skate Man.
So good on them for fucking rolling that back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They come in on Monday because they don't work on weekends apparently, and they're like, no, hit the button. Hit the undo.
Pat, you might have caught
Control
this.
Control Z!
Did you see the economy problem Steam had over the weekend?
No.
Yes, that was really funny, too.
Where, at some point, Indian rupees, I think it was?
Indonesia.
Indonesian whatevers were
like rupees or something.
Were
like
equivalent to dollars for a little while.
What?
So, like, 1-to-1 instead of 1-to-300 or something.
Oops! So the Steam virtual economy just... collapsed.
It'll get back on track.
And people that spent money on it mostly bought, like, trade-ins and
cards,
little
cards.
Cards, of course. That just goes for more money.
But they're
rolling stuff back.
They caught it, they rolled it back. Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, but this isn't like you discovering a gold farming glitch in an MMO.
Mm.
Like, this is real dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Arguably, that's the same difference.
On a certain level.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're all
digital money. Like entrepreneuring scumbags like got entire companies formed within that weekend.
Yeah, I bet you.
You know what I mean? Like they got people together.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you
know who really got themselves together? The fucking people who went out and bought new PS4s, made fresh accounts for sale,
downloaded
and are
PC.
Selling fresh accounts with fresh PS4s with PT on them.
That's fresh.
Fucking hats off.
$4,000.
$600.
It's been going up and up.
Hey, kids, if you want to experience PT, just watch our Shitstorm video. It's a better way.
Yeah, it encapsulates the frustration you would likely feel trying to get the trailer to play.
And guess what? Docket stories is the fact that what happens if you delete PT? You can go redownload.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's on your account.
Dude, always.
No, but it was as long as
you say, register that your account owns it.
Here's the thing. It was iffy because the language was that the distribution period would be over.
It will be hosted forever.
It's TOS stuff for Sony.
Okay.
If you put something on there,
good.
It's
good.
They're fucked.
Because that was the fear that caused this.
Yeah. It was an irrational fear. Yeah.
So that never happened. Even back on Xbox 360.
Well, Afterburner,
Ninja Turtles. Games that got removed
from
the store.
I need to download Reshelled again. I missed that gem.
So
Afterburner's the better example.
If you got it originally, you could go through your history and re-download it. And it's always hosted.
Good. Okay.
Even if it's not for sale.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's one thing about the digital economy that's going to be like static.
Unless they discover that it has a Vita exploit in it, then they pull it down forever.
Yeah.
But there's a slight difference between that, which was just pulled because, well, why was Afterburner pulled?
License reasons, I imagine.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's say Deadpool got pulled down. Digital
Which
stories, it
did.
Like,
license
lost
reasons.
License.
Yeah.
No, like, I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, it did. Could you download that again? Because
yes.
That seems like...
It's in
just,
your history.
Like,
it's
on my Vita, I can still download Marvel 3, but nobody can buy a new digital copy.
Yeah, that's why when Marvel 3 was happening, I went out and got a PS3 copy and bought the... Got the DLC for it like right away, like
now
3 days before.
Shuma-Gorath,
I don't even like Marvel
Valentine.
3, but I want to be able to play it, and I like to be able to play as all the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a list of everything you've ever gotten, and you just download again. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about the other.
Are we skipping our weeks though?
No. I'm just sorry.
It just seemed
we
like
just tangented because like Liam killed
correction.
You killed
no,
two of my docket.
Let's just
by talking about the Steam bit.
Well, we're on a good roll.
Let's just have a beautiful mélange.
Sure.
Of stuff.
Sure.
Look it up, kids. It's a word.
Phalange.
Potpourri.
So the other like I guess communal thing that we can talk about week wise is hey, Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that came out.
Yeah, that's true.
Just roll right in. So
that.
We all seen it.
That opening scene.
God,
I never laughed so hard in that opening scene when they're all like synced and jumping at the same time.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard.
Let's put a hard rule down here. That movie came out this weekend.
Yeah.
We're gonna be real light on this.
We're not gonna get specific.
Basically limit it to trailers.
If you want to watch a very spoiler review, watch Comic Book Girl 19's 45-minute review.
Awesome.
It's 45.
That's awesome.
Was she taking notes?
Yeah.
Like,
good.
The only thing
so
better
hear.
Is red letter style. Our review is longer than the movie itself.
And it's out the day after the movie.
Yeah.
What?
Age of Ultron, right off the bat, opening on the equivalent of the team up shot from the last movie.
Yeah.
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 Right?
Yeah.
Starting.
Nice
there.
Continuance.
Really smart because you already established everything.
Mm-hmm.
You already know what's going on. And I feel like that shot in particular, where everyone's coming in from the side. It's your page 2 spread of a comic book.
That's
all. All it was missing is the yellow boxes with everyone's name next.
And the big title of the arc. If you're not sure what part we're talking about, it's in trailer 2. It's the big shot of trailer 2 where people were going, "Oh man, look at that shot!"
I assume that was from the final battle.
Nope.
Yeah.
Like that opening fight was not the final battle.
No,
right?
Yeah. It In general, I thought really good, really enjoyable. Again, one of the best MCU movies.
I gotta say,
first one was still better.
I don't think so. I didn't love the first one.
Me and Pat were talking about this. We were saying how a lot of people might think it's the first one is still better, but because you were so flabbergasted that you were watching all these characters in the same thing.
Yeah,
because it's never happened before.
But here's the thing about the first one. The newness did wear off, you're right. But the first one was, it was a magical thing because you had so much buildup. Right?
Yeah.
It was the result of the entire phase one thing. Mm-hmm. Bruh, yeah. You know, and this time around, it's like there was build up, but we were kind of used to it.
It was not the same general blockbuster build up that we've all seen a million times before for any movie. Mm-hmm. But the build up to Avengers 1 was so unique because the build up was movies.
Exactly.
Yeah. And leading to it.
And you see all these characters in their individual states and you get to see them together and you're like, ah, you know. So this time around, like,
there's a little bit of that too with new characters having been given earlier roles in Phase 2, but it wasn't to nearly the same degree.
No, of course not.
You know what movie I felt was missing leading into this one? And they talk about a little. They talk about little things that happen in Captain America Winter Soldier, like Nick Fury talks about a thing or two.
Yeah.
But in this, I felt that there was a Hulk movie missing. Because as soon as this movie starts, there's a whole storyline with the Hulk that's apparently been going on.
Well, no, it's not missing from a different movie. It's missing from like the 45 minutes to an hour.
Maybe that's how that was cut out of this. Because I kind of felt there are two weak parts in the movie, and one of them was I thought the Hulk was, he had like a big, you know, kind of moment in the middle where he fought against somebody, but they had like a thing. He has a thing with Black Widow where she can just control him now. That's something I've never...
That's how girls are.
Lullaby, which I've never heard of. Have you ever heard of that before?
I'm sure it exists.
I feel like that's referencing something that existed before.
Sure.
But I'm not positive on it.
I guess it must, because it felt so like, oh, this is a thing now.
If I had to take a guess, I feel like that's something Betty Ross probably had in something.
Well, in the Edward Norton movie, Betty Ross just hangs out with him in a dang-ass cave.
Well, or not.
And then she just goes like, yo, calm down, and he sleeps it off.
Yeah. I had a funny talk with my girlfriend where, like, we were talking about the older Hulk movies, and she's like, oh, there were, like, other people that played him instead of Mark Ruffalo? And I was like, yeah. I was like, really? And
two other guys.
And so I grabbed both trailers, and we just sat and watched them, and it was just like fucking dogs from the
Ang Lee movie.
Dogs from the Ang Lee movie, and then fucking the running down charge one-to-one with Abomination scene with Edward Norton.
That's still awesome.
And stuff. And it's like, but it's like, when he hulks out as Edward Norton, and you look at him, you're like, man, he doesn't look like the Hulk.
No. Yeah,
okay. He looks like
Hulk looks like Mark Ruffalo when he can transform.
The incredible version really didn't look like Edward Norton, you know? Looks more like the Professor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If anything.
The Edward Norton movie still counts continuity wise in the MCU because they had crossover between that General Ross
it's
and Iron Man
one.
And it's
phase
all
one.
Phase one, yeah.
And
people forget about that.
It counts.
Even the people at Marvel are like, oh, what do we do with the Hulk between this movie and the next one? Oh, we can't do another Hulk movie.
But Hulk got so much play, and like it was a kid's movie.
And in the first Avengers, he was like, everyone loved him in that. But
yeah.
I think they're realizing that Hulk plays best off of other characters.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the problem.
He's a little one-dimensional.
Hulk is.
Yeah. Bruce Banner, no. But Hulk? Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So, I want to talk about something that is spoilerish, so I'm going to cap this to exactly, like, let's say 2 minutes from now.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Go. Alright, so, I'm so glad I dodged the trailers, and I completely missed the fucking reveal.
Yeah, I missed it
Vision.
Too.
Vision.
Which is totally in trailer too.
Even if you didn't, they kept that really, really low. You remember seeing that big art of all the characters fighting a million Ultrons?
Mm-hmm.
Vision was way in the back and you could not see
in some of the In some of the trailers, they removed character, like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and Vision were not in that shot in early trailers. Like, they were not even composited in.
I don't think they ever even said his name in the movie.
They said, my Ultron, my Vision. And then they refer to it as
the Vision.
The Vision.
One minute left.
But I totally didn't see the casting on it either. And I'm like, this is a character that's so old and silly looking. There's no way they'd bring him back. Mm-hmm. With the cape and the colors.
But whoa.
And they did. And they gave him the texture update. And I was like, yeah, okay.
I wasn't really a fan of his eyes. Like, it made him look kind of weird. I'd rather them be a little glowy or something. Yeah. It felt like a dude.
Every time he showed up, though, I feel like every time he showed up, I was just hearing from the fisticuffs, we did, Vision!
Vision!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Giant man, hairy arm.
So, I wish they'd bring the arm. Shout outs to not watching the trailers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout outs to still having surprises in the theater.
So now that we're on non-spoiler talk, like you're talking about the trailers, like this trailer in particular, I don't read these comic books, right? And my experience was I saw a trailer and said, "What's that?" And somebody said, "Blank." And that ends up being revealed 85% of the way through the movie. I was not supposed to know that. And for me to instantly be able to get it within 10 seconds, like a person who doesn't even know about this shit,
yeah.
I just ask, oh yeah, what's that? Oh, it's this.
Yeah, okay.
Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That must not be a big deal because they show it. No, it's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. What?
So, you know, clearly we've got our setup for the fucking the next 10 movies that are coming.
Yeah. Yes, we have our next team of goobers. Like when there's a show in the movie where they show like where they're going in the next couple of movies, and you look at the lineup. Like,
what is this?
Got.
The Great Lakes Avengers?
Yeah, it's like the Great Lakes, like North Michigan Avengers or something.
But then
this team.
But every setup too is kind of like, even in the smallest way, they name drop a location that's going to be relevant in one of.
Yeah. I was so
and you can
wishing,
extrapolate who's
one
there.
Of the, one
I
of the
was so wishing,
movies.
Like Liam just said, extrapolate. I was wishing for a certain character to show up when they went to a certain location.
Of course.
And
of course.
I was like, just not even in costume.
Yeah.
I want that guy just there. What's going on in my country
here? Of course.
Just in a suit, just like, hey guys, what's going on? Oh, you know this? Okay, cool, see you.
So you got that established.
Fucking Black Widow stole Matt Murdock's weapons.
Yeah,
the sticks.
And
I was looking at that, and I was like, "How's fucking Matt Murdock
movie?
Gonna get in Avengers 3 now? He can't.
Well,
Black Widow beat him out.
No, he'll win Civil War
with Taser versions.
I like how they keep giving Black Widow more stuff because she can't be shooting guns like she did in the first movie.
Put a bow on her.
Give her a bow. Give her a rocket launcher.
Give her a robot suit.
Slowly turn her into Orchid.
I love how everyone got to go a Cap shield.
I just tried to stumble away from that, but yeah.
Like, Cap and
Cap
the
doesn't deserve the shield. Everyone needs the shield more than him.
One of my favorite things about the first one was the fucking Chrono Trigger double tech.
Between Iron Man and
there was
Cap.
A lot of this here.
And now they amp that up with multiple versions, and I'm like, more double tech.
And not just with the shield.
Yeah.
I
want to see my variations on like fastball special.
There was X-Men versus Street Fighter. You should have just had the moves come up names. Hyper combo!
Charging Star!
Some of that was really good. I said I had two sort of problems, and I kind of said the Hulk stuff seemed a little... Like, yeah, something was cut out
like something
or something.
Was missing. But something that definitely was missing was... I think the next thing you're going to talk
about. The Thor stuff, like, that's... I can imagine them wanting to cut out...
Dude, that whole subplot was just cut out.
That was so... Idris Elba just
there
for a second.
There's a rush
storyline. But my main thing is that I didn't actually care for Ultron all that much in terms of his personality. And I'm like, oh, we have another quirky... I make jokes.
You have a Joss Whedon
villain.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Is fine, but Loki was already kind of that, and Loki's been in a couple of movies, so, like, the trailers for Ultron just made it seem like fucking evil badass quoting things, and it was just like, I think the very first joke is that when he's kind of revealed to Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, and they just kind of talk to him for a bit, and he goes, "What is it you guys have? Children! Yes, the word escaped me." And I'm like, oh, this is where we're going.
So here's the thing about the new age of superhero movies. You can't do generic evil villains anymore. That is done with.
Yeah.
Evil laughter, right?
But now it's
done.
So rare
now it's
that
cool
it's
again.
Unique.
Which is why I'm hoping Doctor Doom is just Doctor fucking Doom.
Yeah.
But then you have to sit through a Fantastic Four movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
However,
that's not worth
my
it.
Favorite Marvel villains of the whole loop is still Obadiah Stane.
Oh, yeah, he's a
like,
good weirdo.
He's
a good weirdo.
He's not
He's just an old man.
He's just an asshole. Yeah. He's just a fucking piece of shit.
But the way he talks is... You gotta have a characterism in the way you talk.
Yeah.
You gotta have something to... he's
you know,
gotta latch onto, like...
He's
like,
gotta be unique.
Ledger,
you know,
Joker, Bane...
You know,
I'm stupid, because Thanos will be that.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
No.
I don't see Thanos making jokes.
No, but we've already seen the Thanos from Guardians of the Galaxy... Excuse me.
Well, he's dying.
I'm dying.
Finally.
Oh, God. Fuck you. Thanos from Guardians
of the Savings
has a kind of persona to him that's not just evil Thanos raw.
No, but
he's kind of like, I've got a business to take care of, and you got to do whatever you've got to do.
But at least
and
in the
was
parts
little...
that they showed of him, he's not... like, actually making a joke,
whatever.
Which is the line
he's
where
wise
I'm like...
But he's not going, mwahaha.
He's
going to
Ron Perlman his way all over the screen.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
Ultron,
to me, when I like, this is more of a nostalgia thing. Whenever I saw him on a card or in a comic, it's just this robot with no... Like, the Ultron drones that he have looks more scary than the actual Ultron, where they tried to give him little eyeballs.
They give him lips.
Ultron in the movie was just a fucking action figure. Like
the actual Ultron from the comic books, the face
he's the evilest face ever. He's a jack-o'-lantern.
And it makes you think his voice is like Starscream.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is kind of screaming all the time.
No, I'm not saying the Ultron was like bad or I was like, ugh. It wasn't what I was kind of hoping for. I just want a death robot that's like, I want to kill everything and that's it. Which he kind of was. Still making a lot. And people are saying, oh, it's because he's a split personality from Tony Stark. And I go, wait, when? When was that said?
No.
He's modeled after Tony Stark. Remember someone said...
Don't go too far into it.
Yeah.
It just sucked that he was a robot with all the flaws of a human. Like,
yeah.
I wanted a fucking robot.
I wanted Skynet.
That's what Terminator Genesis is for.
No!
You're going to see that movie.
I'm going to go see that movie.
I'm forcing you all.
You don't have to force me. I'll see it twice.
No, you
I'll be unhappy.
But that being said, I still think, again, one of the better MCU
I give
movies.
It a solid
A-. Fucking great.
I think the final sort of scene battle was better than the final scene battle in Avengers 1. Mm-hmm. It was more cohesive. There was more... Because the final battle of Avengers 1 is destroy all these aliens that you never even got a clear look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I just respectfully disagree on that because I get it, but... I mark out at the team up things.
Yeah.
And like
he was marking out real hard.
I was marking out
in
too.
In part one, like the Hulk and Thor moment riding on the back, the puny god moment, like all of those things in that finale, just I was constantly losing my shit.
You know?
So I gotta still give it to part
one. There's one thing about that final confrontation that I don't really know how to talk around, but I'll try and be careful, and it's a thematic thing, so I don't have to talk about specific events. But Ultron's, it's a line in the trailer, it's like, you want to protect the world, but you don't want it to change. And the whole plot is about, like, should we change? Should we do things differently?
So let me
And the situation given to them at the end of the movie is like, no, you have to change. You can't just win all the time. And then they totally win, like, no problem. And it's like, I feel like they build up all these stakes, and they're like, we'll never be able to walk away from these stakes.
And they undermine
And then they walk away from the stakes. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Well, comic book rules are that you defeat the villain physically, but he defeats you mentally.
That neither of those happen. Like, they just win.
You know.
And it's like...
No, the mental defeat's there.
I would have much...
There's some characters in particular.
Sure, but I would have much preferred a more Pyrrhic victory...
Yeah,
like a bad win over the good win that we got.
Yeah,
and I found it a bit ridiculous.
Like, the other thing is, I was talking about Ultron a little bit, but I was going to say something that remember in the middle of the movie, I'll just say Scarlet Witch does something, and all the Avengers are broken up, and they keep saying, "We took some hits."
Yeah,
we took some hits.
Yeah.
Ultron didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was another character completely. So your main villain never actually did anything to you.
Not
to
as significant
team.
As...
Like, yeah, Scarlet Witch is working for him, but the thing she did was really cool. Do you think visually, when all the Avengers have their...
Yeah,
their
I thought it was great.
I was like, this is really neat.
It
I
is,
like this.
It is, and it's interesting because it's like, there's no proper easy way to explain Scarlet Witch's power to people in the movies.
Oh, so yeah. That was pretty my fiance asked, what could Scarlet Witch do? And I go, I think anything.
Yeah.
And no, she basically does.
Yeah, it's straight... It's chaos magic and luck manipulation. Mm-hmm.
Also, I love...
I did not know about luck manipulation. That explains a lot. Mm-hmm.
I love how Elizabeth Olsen can totally put in the time. You know, I'll do an accent. I'll do a European accent. You see Scarlett Jo just going, fuck that. Never doing it.
No, no.
I'm not a great actress.
Yeah, two Russian women standing next to each other talking in a scene. And yeah. One is just, fuck it. And the other's like, pretty good Russian accent. Unlike her brother, who did not have a pretty good Russian accent.
But he had a hammy enough one.
Yeah. But also, like, I prefer Romanov. And you're like, nope.
And they even have little flashbacks of her as a kid in Russia.
And with no accent!
Dude, you know what it is? It's fucking, it's Snake Eater. Whereas the Japanese snake voice actor forgot his name.
Yeah, I feel
Otsuka learns Russian because he wants to record the fucking game in Russian, and Kojima's like, yeah, let's do it. And then every other actor is like, fuck you!
And then Hayter's like, I'm gonna growl it up.
Yeah. And like,
oh, I'm fired.
I also
greatly preferred this Quicksilver
X-Men.
Yeah, me too.
Like, we all know X-Men Quicksilver got his awesome
moment.
But he's still so much cooler.
But when I think of Days of Future Past as Quicksilver, all I can think about is they had to write him out of the story because he breaks every scene that happens after that.
Get out of here!
What are we gonna do? The stuff's happening at the White House. Why don't you have Quicksilver just win?
Not that different here.
Yeah, a little bit.
The last thing I want to say on it is... Go ahead.
I really like how much play Arrow Man got.
The last thing I was gonna say is Hawkeye.
Most apology for the first movie
most
ever.
Most improved character.
Can't stand that rat-faced Renner. Oh, wait, no, I can now.
You can't. What was great was that when Quicksilver runs by him, and then Hawkeye just goes, oh, no one would know. No one would know. Oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, I loved him. Oh, he's dead.
painting Hawkeye as the old man of the team works perfectly.
Well, I'm just blown away that he stole the show in terms of dialogue and Iron Man didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Stark took a backseat to Renner's, like one-liners.
I'm not sure anyone agrees, but maybe I'm getting a little tired of Robert Downey as Tony. Because there were some jokes. I was just like, yep, heard this before.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, like, he's getting, like, really, like, annoying in some characteristics.
I wouldn't say annoying, but...
absolutely a setup for Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His hard-headedness is totally set up.
Oh, yeah, no, the things he does in this movie are setups for the other Avengers. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
There is a 4.5 minute preview of Civil War somewhere in
more
this movie.
Or less. Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, yeah. But just his general delivery is that, like, I know it's like everyone loves him, write him more lines, have him make a snarky comment every 3 seconds.
Yeah, but it's been 5 movies.
It's been 5 movies, so it's like I'm not, like, some game tired of it, but, like, back him off a little bit. Because they're using him as a crutch.
He got some good ones in, though.
Yeah, for sure, but...
I think he was outshone by another character that I didn't think was even going to be in the movie, and I'm so glad that he's going to be in more movies.
That was fun.
He was totally outshone.
Yeah. I don't actually know which one you mean. Can you dance around it?
I can give you a charades description.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's a character that,
so I don't want to spoil that inclusion because it was my favorite part of the whole movie because that character is way better than everyone on the cast.
There's still no scene that I like.
That's
what
I think,
saw
man.
Before.
Yes.
I really, really love the scene where they're all trying to lift the hammer. And
of
when
course.
Cap
yeah.
nudges it.
Of course.
I just love that Cap nudges it.
That scene in the trailer
that needed
was...
to be it, right?
Mm.
And then
that's a trailer scene, isn't it?
Then, yeah.
That was what made me want to see the movie so much. Because of that scene.
They get it right. They get the comic book accuracy in there just a little bit. But then they add the real punchline later, and it's like, oh!
I would prefer a Marvel movie with more sitting around a table talking. I want Kevin Smith's Avengers. That's just what I want.
Well, guess what, right?
Yeah.
The Ultimates is basically a lot of that type of thing, which is where this reference
I just want... You know? Remember Kevin Smith's pitch for Green Hornet?
Yeah, stuff
happens.
Where is
Kato and Green Hornet sitting on the fucking front of the car shooting shit? for like 3 hours, and then crimes happen off camera, and they move off camera and beat the criminals, and then walk back in the shot, and it's just a single shot for the whole movie. I want that, but for the Avengers.
God, if people had balls, man.
Anyway. I want Kevin Smith's Superman.
Yeah, and we want Edgar Wright's Iron Man. Iron Ant. Yeah. Anyway.
Man, fucking Ant-Man. Can we just talk about how that trailer probably gives away 99% of the movie?
Yeah, but again,
it also gives that one is worse. I think it's worse.
All the based best on what shots. We've seen. I have a strong suspicion that the best part of the entire movie is the punchline of that trailer.
I think the Thomas the Tank Engine joke is probably the best part of the movie. But I think that they felt
they needed to make people go, look, see, it's still fun and good. It's still interesting because the director that you wanted is not there. Well, so I think they needed to oversell.
I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's a leaked bit of test footage of a fight scene with Ant-Man fighting two guys.
Yeah,
from
really,
Edgar Wright's version.
Yeah, that's the really,
and there's
really
a trailer of Ant-Man, the last one, that has the same scene of him fighting those two guys, but of the new director, and you get to see, and you're like, oh my god, Edgar Wright's version was going to be so much better. It's so much more of a dynamic, goofy shot.
We gotta wait and see what we're going to get, but it's just a little odd that this is the end of Phase 2. You know,
yeah,
it's the Ant-Man's the final Phase 2 movie.
Ant-Man versus Thanos. Go.
It's also weird that like they felt the need to like if you shuffle these movie releases around, you put Ant-Man before Avengers, you probably could have had a more accurate Ultron origin than they do in Avengers 2.
You could have if you went that way.
Mm-hmm. If you went that way. But right. if they
But that but, that means that, introducing Wife Beater.
Sure.
And I don't know.
But Ultra like Ultron's like actual origins in this movie were like kind of like I don't like wow this seems
Shut
like
up,
a weird...
it's a movie. It has to go.
No, but yes, but if they had they could have actually avoided that confusion by sticking with maybe the more...
Yeah, the Hank Pym.
The Hank Pym.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But,
whatever.
You know, you're right about it being, like, an odd one for the end of Phase 2, but, like, for 99% of moviegoers, it's not a bookend. It's just a continuation.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know.
It's all a rich tapestry.
Pretend it's the first one of Phase 3.
And they've
makes no difference.
It actually makes no difference.
And they've started making the preview... things in the middle of the credits instead of at the end.
You see good guy, sign
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, we stayed all the fucking way and there was nothing.
There's just guys with signs and all in Age of Ultron line just saying there is no post-credits scene. There's only like mid-credit. So don't stick
only
around.
Stay for the first one.
I think
there's
it was
no Guy
Pod that posted that. It was a good guy, sign guy.
But it's still hilarious when we saw people get up right away and walk and,
and then
like,
you're just like what
and
to
we
be
all
fair
went,
how many do we need
to be fair that mid scene thing was nothing.
It was the most nothing one so far.
I think Joss Whedon said I don't even care for these
like fucking what 13 or 14 in maybe not, but they're going to continue because they're what like got them. People to start with. Waiting
around. Do you think that's a request from theaters to get people out of the seats faster so they can clean the theaters?
It's kind of hard to say.
Maybe.
It could be.
Plus, the credits for Avengers 2, I imagine, are super long.
They're super long.
Yeah.
Not Ubisoft long.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's get into weeks.
What'd you do this week, Willie?
I'll start out. I
got you.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Tagged him.
Okay, so I'll start out with... I beat Titan Souls.
Yay!
And
what did you think of that?
Okay, so, you know what? Like, I actually, I went through that, and I was thinking about what you were saying, and I respectfully disagree.
You like walking around 50% of the time?
Well, here's the thing.
Sorry, 70?
Well, here's the thing. I timed it. And none of them are actually longer than 15 seconds.
They feel long, I find.
I'm
disappointed when Willie said, well, Liam, unlike you, I never died.
For one thing, my full time on it was 418.
Yeah, it's not a super long
game. So it's not a long game. But the long walk is like going from one area to another for the first time. But for every retry, none of them were longer than 15 seconds.
But, like, let me ballpark something to you. Out of that 4 hours and 18 minutes, how much time did you spend fighting the bosses? Maybe an hour, maybe two tops? Like...
Maybe, but I really... No, but it was more than that, though. Because,
well, how long did you spend in Shadow walking
traveling
to the boss?
Area,
it's
right?
Just as much.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, Shadow of the Hedgehog.
No, well, I know that's
but the Colossus fights are super long.
They are, but
if you're bad,
but
well, they last a couple minutes.
Yeah, but you're, and you get your retry. But like the The thing with this is just, I like, because I remember when you were describing it, and you were kind of saying, like, it was like 45 seconds or something like that.
Right? It's up to, is what I said.
And
yeah.
I they were all right there.
Oh, it was just off memory. I wasn't timing
fair,
it.
Yeah, fair enough. So. To me, I was like, worried about that, and I didn't find it was a problem. Okay. And I had a lot more fun with the encounters, and, you know, each encounter, you learn it in, what, like, 2-3 rounds?
A couple swings, yeah. A
couple swings, and you kind of get it. All in all, fucking great. And there's a whole like trending type of thing that you can get that makes it really cool to go back and do the New Game Plus.
Sure, right.
So yeah, I think it's set out to do what it does quite successfully, and I enjoyed it fully. And I totally recommend you guys grab it because it's short and sweet.
Okay,
do it. I started out Chroma Squad.
Yeah.
And that is a fucking fun game. It's interesting because, like, it opens up with a director for, like, the Power Rangers type show they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just being a shitbag to everyone on the set.
Interesting.
And it's just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
This guy's name used to be fucking
What's his name in the game?
Savvy?
Something like E. Mai or something
it's
weird.
A weird name.
A weird, right, weird okay. name. Fair and enough. It's very much just like this. I feel like this used to be Saban, you know, or something weird like that.
That's because
he's
funny.
Such a shitter. And it's to the point where like the intro is really like everyone, all the stunt actors being like, fuck this, we're walking off set and starting our own show.
Yeah, okay.
And that's how the adventure kind of goes and stuff. And yeah, it delivers on everything it promised.
Does that shitty director try and sue them for the name halfway through the game?
Some stuff happens, but he basically is like the villain.
Obviously. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's cool.
It's interesting. Yeah. And the writing is so fucking weird. That's the one thing about
it. Is it good weird or bad weird?
Mixed bag.
Mm, okay.
You know what I mean? Sometimes good weird, sometimes bad
like
weird.
Poorly translated from another language? Or
not even. Not even.
No, I mean like the
well,
whoever wrote
the,
it, the English
I think
is not
the Brazilian.
Oh, really?
That's what I meant.
I think the team's Brazilian. Then, yeah. But yeah, no, just quirky. But like the title screen has a cool Sentai song sung in Japanese.
Yeah,
including like
all have you seen their ads and stuff?
Like, yeah, of course, yeah, of course. Okay, you know, and they got someone to sing that title screen song that has all the right words in it, including Mamoru and everything.
You gotta remember that shit.
Yeah, they knew what they were making for sure.
So that's I'm glad that delivered on you know what it's set out to be. You get a really cool character select thing where it's like. Set your squad to be what they want to be, customized characters and whatever, and each
what
have personalities.
Fruit?
And you got like, yeah, you got like one guy that's like, I'm really shitty at stunts and martial arts, but I'm a pretty boy, and you'll always get
fans. So you'll
fans.
Need me. You'll
right.
Need
every
me.
Episode you have with me in it will get a ton of fans,
wow,
but that's it.
That's interesting.
You know?
That's
so
blue, then.
Do you sacrifice a slot for this
yeah,
indie
yeah,
or
that's
not?
Fun.
You know?
That's pretty cool.
Fun stuff there. Tried to play PT with the girlfriend, just because she never played it, and so it was a great opportunity. I just downloaded it, set it up. She didn't make it through it. Couldn't handle it.
That's the complete opposite experience
I had. How many
loops
did she walk through?
Got to the point where the fridge is hanging.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fridge, yeah.
And that was it. She's like, nope, not interested
it's
anymore.
A scary fucking game.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm glad that
like
existed.
She put it down when the first grab with the head in the bag starts going.
Yeah.
And then picked it back up, and then the fridge, and it's like, nope.
I think so when I went through it, I think I said how ours kind of petered out because trying to get the ending sequence.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
It's
a total crapshoot.
And we just went, well, this sucks. Quit out.
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get that. It was, but that's the nature of the fucking demo.
Yeah,
hey, you can get a trailer for this game that doesn't exist.
Well, when we did it existed.
Yeah, I know, but at this point in time, like, there's no value in beating it.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, I mean, except for the experience itself.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
I think PT's fantastic. I'm happy.
I think
it
it's
exists.
Fantastic, and boy, do I hate playing it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't. I told you, my girlfriend beat it for me while I was, like, crying in the corner because it was a big baby.
Yeah.
It was like what he's telling, but reverse the roles.
How many deaths were avoided by the cancellation of Silent Hills?
God, right.
And the thing
no,
is,
how many ruined pants? Yeah. Ruined pants, yeah.
And it's funny because,
at least one, and those are mine.
Oh.
Because the thing is, after like, we stopped at that point, it's PS4 is perfect because you can just press the PS button, and you get happiness music.
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
It's safe. It's safe. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
We're back
just
to the
don't press it again. It's way better than pause.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's peaceful again, and like, we didn't get to, like, my favorite scares, which is the banister person.
Yeah, the banister person.
that one scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because you don't even,
no,
like, it's just there.
It's the strongest one, in my opinion.
I agree.
Well, also, the one with the radio, where it's like, look behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
That fucking freaked me the shit out.
But anyway.
I couldn't sleep, man. That kept me awake for weeks. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, no,
like, you can ask my girlfriend next time you see her. But that kept me awake for weeks.
It led to us having a candid discussion about, like, the, you know, like, scary stuff and why to play scary things, why you want to subject yourself to this stuff.
It's the moment that I discovered that I hate horror in my horror games. I like survival horror.
You like survival horror?
I like limited agency, not no agency.
Has horror gone too far?
And I like horror themes. Yeah. I want horror theme park.
It's,
and, you know,
to me, it's the same as eating spicy food, man. You love it. You love it. You gotta get in there. It fucking wrecks
you.
Well,
I disagree.
It wrecks everyone.
Remember when we did the PT video, and both you guys are like, and I yell scared, and then I immediately start laughing.
Because
I always go, you got me. It's fun. You got me. I can't believe you
got
me.
Matt, but you were doing tough guy, I'm not scared, Matt. And I was like, come on.
When I was a small child, I went to Niagara Falls, and there was a funhouse in there, and it was really scary. And then I got freaked out. I was like 4 years old, and I tried to run over to an emergency exit, and all the emergency exits were fake and had scares behind
them. That's awesome.
And like three in a row, and I was freaked out so bad that the fucking staff had to come into the funhouse.
High level stuff.
Into a ball.
That had to come into the funhouse and like walk me out through like the fucking actual service exit because I was so fucking freaked out. No, thank you.
The safe word just makes it worse.
Because we back at college, my program, one of our fundraisers was we converted one of the major rooms in the college into a dark room.
Yeah, I did that too, the college program.
And it was fun and everyone got a good kick out of it. But nobody likes the fucking tough guy going in with the friends, like, oh, what the fuck is this? Grabbing shit, I'm not scared. It's like, just don't go on the ride then.
That's the guy who dies first in the horror movie.
I mean, I get what you're saying, Matt, but like,
no, I don't go, oh, it's not scary. Like, remember I went to, like, three haunted houses in Lerone?
And he was terrified of them.
Because there was guys that do the PT reaction.
He enjoys the catharsis of the scare.
I'm not sure if you remember that video, but I didn't quite do that. I went, oh, God. Yeah, and then I said, oh, that's scary or whatever. I did go, like, yeah, like, what do you got or something.
He enjoys the back and forth of the expectation.
There's a very clear, what I'm saying is there's a very clear distinction. We went to the haunted house thing, and there was a guy that was in front saying, like, talking to the performers, yo, hey, what's up? Yeah, what are you doing here? Talking to them, that's above the line.
Asshole-ery.
Because that's, you're breaking the immersion of everyone involved.
Yeah. It's a way that you deal with, like, scares in this situation, whereas Matt will get the scare, it'll hit 80%, he'll laugh and clear 60% of that back. So he'll still be a little amped up, but he'll mostly clear it out.
Yeah.
I'll get scared, and it's just added. And it doesn't go... And then the next scare gets cumulatively added to the fear meter until I'm shitting my pants.
Like, if I ever set...
Which I have not actually done ever in my life, but, you know, I'm getting older. I'm getting older. My birthday was last week. Every year's a new attempt.
Yeah.
I mean, a new
trial. A new attempt.
No.
I mean, is there a law that determines that? Like, the older you get in age, the closer you are to shitting.
Yeah, but the math for everyone is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boyven's law.
Different equation.
Boyven-Ivan law.
No, if you have like one of those perfect setup barn in the woods type things, there should be a setup for, oh, like, oh, we got a douchebag on the premises. Okay, initiate douchebag mode.
How to get rid of
or,
him.
Yeah, or not even get rid of him, but like you put in the real shit.
Yeah.
Or like everyone that's in the ride gets silently escorted out. And then he gets locked in there on his own or some shit, you know?
That reminds me. You want to hear some backwards mental gymnastics that I have run for my own fear? After, like, a couple weeks after playing PT and being all terrified and shit, I was walking down Monkland. You know Monkland?
Yeah.
Okay, and you know those I was walking home, and you know those, like, you could just take a left and just go down the scariest, darkest path in the world?
Sure.
The alleys behind people's houses?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, ah, PT's horrible, but something bad can happen to you in a video game. Nothing bad will happen to me in real life. So I ended up walking through those for like 2 hours, getting mildly spookified, and then got home, was like, oh, that was fun, and then could not play PT.
Dude, like,
because that's how my brain works.
So fucking weird.
You can die in a video game because that's what video games are like, but nothing bad would ever happen to you in real life.
See, and the conversation.
I survive you've lasted this long with that attitude.
It's a bad attitude.
The conversation that we had after playing it was just like, I don't think ghosts are scary and because they don't do anything to you. They just shake
but things.
But
they can do things in games, though.
Right? They don't do anything. And, like, what's really scary when you hear a noise in your house is not the idea that a ghost is possessing it, but there's a man there waiting to do
something
to you.
Well, that's never going
to
happen to me.
Cutlass.
Machete.
To me! It'll never happen to me because I'm invincible and I'm the hero of my own life.
So that's the real fear is real life, not the spooky ethereal shit.
Yeah, see, I have it switched around.
Like when I'm if I see a ghost, it's like, oh, that's weird, but you're gonna do what? Pass through me and make me feel cold?
No, you'll be covered in goop, you'll get slimed.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's slimer.
You have to clean that up. That's scary.
Eventually.
I've seen your apartment. I know you're scared of cleaning water.
Sure.
Speaking of ghosts, I finished Friends on Netflix. And I know that seems like that's a weird jump, but it's
not. That's a ghost story.
Because one of the strongest jokes in Friends is when Joey is on Pyramid, the game show, and the person is giving Joey, like, it's white. And he's trying to do mayonnaise. And he goes, so Joey's trying to guess. And he goes, it's white. And there's about two, like, items that he's trying to describe. And Joey has the same answers for both. He just jumps between three. And he goes, paper, snowball, a ghost! Right. And then they're like, no, next one. And then he's like, oh, okay, he says mayonnaise. And he goes, all right, it's white. And he goes, papers, no, a ghost! Right. And I laugh my ass off at this. And this is in the 10th season.
That's why he got the spinoff.
The reason why is that, like, Friends is astonishingly consistent. That when I looked at little Netflix descriptions, I'm like, that sounds awful. They did that? That's, I'm going to have a bad time with this 10th season. But it's actually surprisingly consistent, the entire series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really quick, I just want to say...
Sorry.
As you're mentioning, I finally finished off Parks and Rec, and I remember the end of that was, like, pretty nothing, right? Pretty straight and plain.
It was just like, here's what happened to everybody, and that was it.
And I agree, but I also feel like I can't think of a single show that, like, was on TV or, like, that went for many seasons that had a special ending. It's always kind of like that, and or worse. You know what I mean?
You mean like an entire last
season, like when 30 Rock wrapped up, when Seinfeld wrapped up.
Same deal.
It's the same kind of TV ending. They're never really super great. They're always just like, and then it ended.
I guess that's why, like, it's unique in that way, but it took me aback because I'm so used to those types of endings in TV shows. So maybe initially I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that, but it is unique. Like, no one else.
Like, the only one I can think of that went off with a giant-ass bang was Firefly, which did a movie. You know what I mean? Like, every TV shows usually just kind of go like, yeah, okay, and now we're wrapping it up. And that's
like, nobody's ever going to beat Bob Newhart.
Right?
The Newhart show?
It was the second Bob Newhart show where he fucking gets hit with the golf ball and he wakes up at the ending of the first show that he ever did with the different
I
life.
Had a weird dream.
And it's like, oh, and there was this beautiful blonde, and then his wife's like, oh, God. Like, what
lodge.
Do you mean a beautiful blonde? Ah, ha, ha.
Or you could always just go Sopranos on
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
And lastly, I got the class. I got my finally set up classic Xbox, fully loaded with all the fun
stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot you want to talk about this. Yeah.
No, and it was just, it was a fun little trek to find out where online I can find somebody that is ready for this.
Is ready for you.
Ready for
find
me.
A less than genuine
right?
Xbox.
An original Xbox, mm-hmm. that is, which is, like, modded and tricked out with, like, the skull decal.
The skull decal!
You know, and all the crazy shit.
Now you might think
what was your other option for a decal?
No, hold on. You might think that if Wooly would call me and say, hey, which of these Xbox should I get, I would have said the skull ones, but no. The
because
one you should have gotten.
Option two is just cash money.
That was the better option.
Yeah.
Dollar bills,
I might need to go. I might need to go get that.
Get a backup Xbox.
Return this one.
But this was a fucking, okay, you get in contact, I get in contact with this guy, and I see the list, and he's got the full list, everything's there, and it's like, okay, from the get-go, it's like this Greek dude that's just in his apartment with a stack of these things, and he's like a true Xbox bro.
Right.
And he's just like, yo, okay, what games you want, bro? Right? What do you got? I got the list here for you. I got every Splinter Cell, bro. I got, like, okay.
Now, most tough people that go to visit, like, you know, random apartments for things, there either be some sort of paraphernalia that they're trying to get, or some type of entertainment, or something a little more insidious. But we are the group that go in, there's a guy who's like, I got all the Splinter Cells, man.
Yeah. I know a man to talk to about an Xbox.
I got squeakers.
Yeah, and he's like,
I got blinks.
He's got the default list. He's like, if you want to change stuff out, you let me know and whatnot. So I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm like, get me a Panzer Dragoon, get me, you know, some weird stuff. Yeah. And then he's like, so what's this Panzer Dragoon shit? What's that all about, you know? And he's asking about, like, some Japanese games and stuff. I'm like, oh, it's pretty cool. And he's like, oh, yeah. No, I never got into that shit, bro. You know, and he's like, and I'm like, oh, you can make space, get rid of, like, MK Deception. He's like, bro, the Deception? You want me to delete? Yo, are you
serious?
Okay, hold on a minute.
Are you serious?
Hold on a minute. Why you want me to delete that, though?
Are you serious?
Yeah. He's like, why you want me? He's like, okay, I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, I'm like, no. He's like, wait, I'm sorry? But he's cutting me off. He's like, I'm a passionate guy, okay? I'm a passionate guy about this shit, bro. Like,
I love this guy.
You gotta have the good games, bro.
Well, I hope you basically said we have a copy of it.
I'm fucking loving this guy, right? Like, and at one point, he calls me back, and he's like,
this is after you're gone.
This is like after we talk and get the whole thing.
No.
And he's like, okay, so yo, like, I noticed that, like, you don't have that many sports games on the list. I understand, you know, that might not be your thing, but yo, listen. There's this game. Hot hard hitters MLB. I swear to God, bro, you gotta play this game. And I'm like, but I don't really.
So this
play
isn't it. Even this is even him trying to hustle you.
He's like, no.
I'm worried about your game choices because they seem a little lame.
I know a lot about games, bro, and I'm gonna help.
This is an astoundingly high quality of service.
Your list isn't good enough. You need to have this game. I'm telling you,
yo, man. Outlaw volleyball.
Yeah,
I love volleyball though.
Right, and he's like, he starts getting into like some of the choices, and it's just like, I'm telling you, like, this is what you need. I don't want to. I'm not. I'll take it off if you want. If you tell me, give me the word. I'll take it off, bro. But I'm leaving it there for now. Just try it, okay? And I'm like, all right, fine.
So I see you put something called Shenmue. You want to take that off, bro. No one like that. You ought to put the NFL, man. You know, NFL.
Like, I get you all the NFL games.
It was fucking great. And he's like, yo, I got the firmware set up. I changed out your DVD.
You got no brute force, shit. Man. Where's like, your brute force?
Oh, nobody cares about brute force.
You need brute force.
And he's just one of those guys. He's just like, you go in and he's got the two fucking pit bulls in the house there. And he's like, don't mind them. Don't mind them. Just
and
walk
they
past,
also
walk
have
past,
dollar
go.
Sign decals on them.
You know, and it was just the greatest fucking time. And I'm like, this...
We should have this guy over on the podcast.
I need him in my
life. We're not doing
now.
Him justice.
You know? And like...
So he's getting a call back.
No, he's fuck-faced
when
now.
When it was ready, I was going to go pick it up initially. He called me back. He's like, bro, I fucked it up. I was trying to get you some extra shit on there. And I accidentally formatted everything. I'm going to need some more time. And I was like, yo, it's cool. it's cool. I get to talk to you for longer. We get to hang out. Take your time.
It's the best customer service thing I've ever experienced.
He's like, there's this mod where you can get like a remote to turn it on from a distance, bro. You don't have to set anything up. And then you put in the 3 digits for the game you want to boot. Boots right to the thing, bro. I'm telling you, it's sick.
That's actually pretty sick.
And I'm like, that's pretty good. Yeah, that is pretty useful.
So, all right, man. You know,
that means when we're turning the thing on, we have the big fucking like binder of codes next to
But
you know, man, if you want to talk to me anytime, just add me on ICQ, bro. ICQ!
It was a caricature, you know. And at one point he straight up was like, "So you mentioned your other friend has an Xbox. You guys sometimes play these games. There's not too many people out there that still care about this shit. I would love to maybe hang out or do something like that sometime." He straight up gave the offer, and I'm like, "Yeah, man, I'll talk to my friends. We'll see what's up."
Okay. Does this young man have a name?
His name's Ari.
Come over and play Dino Crisis 3.
Play Dinosaur Hunting. That'll blow his
mind.
I made a friend, man.
That's good. That's a good story.
I'm sorry I kind of jumped the gun there.
That took a while, so just by all means.
Like I said, I finished off Friends, and when you look at, we started like mid like season 3 or something. We said, let's just go from there. And then when I looked at, you know, there's usually a flashback episode, and I just realized that the early 90s, like 94, 95, the 90s had nothing going on. No one knew what to wear.
They're super weird.
Like, it's the most eclectic, like, not the 80s, not what you think of the 90s. When I think of the 90s, I think of hip-hop. I think of, you know, like,
I think of mom jeans and like pastel windbreakers.
Sort of, but that's also kind of 80s. But the early 90s, they had no idea what to wear. Like, Chandler just wore vests.
Who?
Yeah. Okay.
Chandler.
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Cockroach.
We're far enough from the 90s that the 90s look weird like the 80s did when we were like 15.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that Parks and Rec early 90s party that they have.
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, there's all kinds of shit. Fucking basketball pull-off pants with the buttons on the sides.
Wearing your jeans backwards.
Come on.
I don't know if I can go back and watch those episodes because I'm just looking and I'm like, honey, Rachel, I can't believe you were trying to pull this off. Mm-hmm. You can't. So I finished off that, and I also, this is a weird thing about me, but I think I told Liam about this, but I love the show House Hunters.
Yeah.
Like the TLC show, or not TLC.
What,
like,
are you, my parents?
I love watching idiots, especially young couples, go in and have these dumb lists of the most unrealistic. I need a heated pool. I need granite countertops. I need amazing lighting. I need 4 bedrooms. I have $100,000.
Yeah.
Go.
This
is a thing where they just get shown 3 houses, usually one that the man likes or the other person, the couple likes, one that they both like, and one that's kind of a mix. Guess what the other thing, and Pat will be happy to know about this,
is that
someone has a dog, the dog will win out.
Yeah, every
time. If you have a large backyard, it could be $1 million. They can't afford it. If it's the one with the large backyard for the dog will fucking win every time. Sure, it'll put them in abject poverty and they won't be able to afford it. God. The dog's backyard always wins.
My favorite. I'll be really happy for 5 years.
My favorite part of that show is I've watched about 10 of them, I guess, because every time I go to see my folks, like,
it's always on. That's
TLC
where
is on the fucking
that's
background.
Where I started watching.
Well, they know where it's at.
And, like, every now, like, I want to say a third of all episodes, you get the thing of the wife or the husband has the list like that, but the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one doesn't give a fuck. And they're like, oh man, look at this place. It's got granite countertops. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then the other one's like, man, it's pretty expensive. It's pretty expensive. No, we'll just work more hours. How about we try a different house? And then they see a different house. And now the other person's like, hey, this is pretty affordable. It's pretty nice. Yeah, but the other one, though, you could just work more hours.
Think of all the granite we're sacrificing.
And, like, you can see the marriage just start to disintegrate.
Oh, yeah, you can see
it. It's amazing.
Is there a name for this era of trash reality?
It's reality TV, because there's shows that do it different way where they play up drama really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But then this one is more like we're kind of, you know, overselling it a little bit.
But like the reality boom, when the dust settled, what was left was the shows that were like following a profession.
It's still booming.
There's
but one what I mean is you don't have like random. There's no Temptation Island anymore.
No, but there's Duck Dynasty.
Now it's Ice Road Truckers, Duck Dynasty.
People in a career doing a thing.
Right after this show.
Fucking the whatever the stupid pawn shop thing is.
Pawn Stars.
Yeah, you know, that's, I mean, that's
right after this show is the one that Matt's talking about, House Hunters or whatever. There's usually one right after. I forget the name, but it's Canadian. It's about this bald guy who's a contractor.
Love It or List It.
No,
I know Mike or something.
Mike or something.
Not Mike, not the big guy Mike, but he's like small-ish.
He's still got Mike. He's got bald head and he's like a Canadian guy and he just contracts out and helps people rebuild their homes. And the whole show is people will call and say, hey, we need a contract job. And he's like, okay, we're just going to like near how it's done level show you how what we're going to do to this house.
The whole process.
And 80% of them are like, wow, people built your house really fucked up. Check this shit out. Don't buy a house with this in it. Fucking house fall apart.
That said, Wooly, they had the show about gypsies. Like, I think it's still ongoing.
Sure,
you know, like,
sure,
everyone's still eligible for a reality show.
And like, you know, when you think about it, Wooly, our stuff is basically a reality show.
So when you think,
we even have that fifth guy editing it to make us look extra catty.
And this is like you're just grabbing them one by one online. Like,
no, they're all on Netflix. Like, a season or something.
Because it feels so weird for a show like that to be on demand. No, you're so used to that.
Reality shows. When we were working on Murdered, I think I listened to every episode of Hell's Kitchen and Chopped
just on audio
in the background.
Wow,
testing
that
Murdered.
Explains a lot.
Every single episode
that explains why you fucked up the writing so bad.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's take a quick word from our sponsors, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's mashing his phone for like 5 seconds before it made any sound.
Mother's Day is only 6 days away.
Oh my god,
mash it more.
The mother horn. Mother horn.
That's the sound your mom will make if you don't get her.
Right? You got it.
Oh, you didn't finish the sentence.
You're the Segway king.
I'm sorry.
Get her what?
Leaned my Segway towards you, and you pushed me right over.
I was handling the button requires operation.
You're just Segway scootering now.
Yeah, mom said to you, I don't want any scrub flowers. I want flowers.
So,
welcome to the real world, flowers.
You have 6 days to get your shit together, guys. Proflowers.com.
Is there any way for assistance getting my shit together?
Yes. You go to proflowers.com.
.com.
You click the microphone. You enter Friendcast. Mm-hmm. And you get yourself a deal. Right now they have it going 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $20.
That is a significant...
100 blooms?
...low investment compared to the pain you will receive by fucking up Mother's Day.
Right?
That's sending your mom a lot of Orlandos.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. There's your mom... But you might also have other mothers in your life.
If you're romancing your friend's mothers,
you're gonna need flowers.
If you have a significant other that is also a mother, or a sister that could be a mom as well,
yeah,
they got you covered.
Hit her with some flowers.
If your grandma's alive, send her some shit.
There you go. So,
you have two grandmas usually. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So once again, we're talking proflowers.com. Use the promo code FRIENDCAST. It's an easy-to-use website. It makes a simple gift that gets there quick, on time. The flowers are guaranteed, underlined, to be fresh for at least 7 days. And you choose the delivery date you want, but you want to get it on time for Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. Like the day before or the day of.
Mom doesn't like tardy flowers.
No. Hey, Mom, I totally got these for you on time. I just decided to send them to you a day after. No one's going to believe that.
No.
No one.
She can detect the wither.
Yeah.
Moms can detect lies. It's true.
Don't do it. Don't lie to Mom. No. Don't lie to Mom. Get her flowers, man. Get her pro flowers.
Happy Mother's Day.
Proflowers.com, promo code FRIENDCAST. Thank you, Proflowers.
Thanks, Proflowers.
Thanks, Proflowers.
This episode is also sponsored by Loot Crate.
Does that sound effect play all the way to the mic? I can't tell.
I think... Hold on, let me get it closer.
Just push it closer.
Hold on.
Careful.
That's the official Loot Crate boom?
That's the Inception boom.
That plays when you open the box.
Oh my God. Not talking about stuff box or gift square.
No.
Cube.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about Loot Crate.
Next month, you open that box, a herd will gallop out towards you.
Whoa.
Tatanka.
Keep holding out for that horse.
Horse crate is coming. Horse crate is a real thing. Don't tell me otherwise, because you're wrong.
All right, look. I'm like...
There's a violin in there, because of the
everyone, please ignore Liam and listen to us. Lootcrate.com/super. Enter the promo code super. Save 10% off what? 10% off what? Any new subscription. Subscription to what?
Horse Crate.
Amazing loot every month.
There you go. You get a ton of value for less than $20 a month. 6 to 8 items, geek pop culture, vinyl figures, comics, shirts, all that good stuff.
I was using that little Game of Thrones USB like today and yesterday because I was like, oh, look, it's so cute.
There you go. I wore my Space Invaders necktie to an occasion.
I brought those Princess Bride cards to a friendly outing and then no one wanted to play cards because they just wanted to watch the Pacquiao fight.
Fair enough.
But I could have played cards with them.
Well, I brought the Super Fight game to an outing and we played Super Fight.
Well, fuck you.
Was that good?
It was fun. Cool. Very fun.
And so, I don't know who it was, but someone ran off with the desirable copy of Ready Player One that we got.
Wooly.
Was it you? Okay.
Yes, and I finished the book this week. It was really good. So
you finished the book without ever opening it.
It's great. It's great. So, once again, that's lootcrate.com/super. We just gave you examples of the kind of stuff that we got through it. And, hey, if you're as geeky and as dorky as we are...
You're not.
You can try.
If you have a loot crate.
You'll probably appreciate what they got in store for you.
Get up to our geek level, son.
Get like us. Get Loot Crate. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Loot Crate.
Yeah, I guess, man. Like,
but my ultimate example of this is they go in, a couple, and there's one that's like from, I think... Not Seattle, but no, St. Louis, or whatever. And they're the most hipster couple ever. Like, we need a weird space. And they stare at the camera. I'm like, okay. And then the realtor shows them, this used to be a butcher's slaughterhouse. But it's nice, but it's weird. Its architecture is a little like this, but even stranger. And it's all weird, and they're like...
Because it wasn't built to be a home.
It wasn't built to be a home. Yeah. Show us homes that were never homes.
Yeah.
And then they go,
like a remodeled church or something.
Yeah. So they go, how about this? And they're like, this is really strange. I don't really know about this. It's almost too weird. And the realtor's like, what? Okay, well, what about this? And they're like, oh, how about this firehouse? There's the pole right over there. And they're like, this has too much room for us.
That's a winner right there.
You. That's so good.
And then they go, well, this is also the least amount of your budget. This costs like $100,000. Your budget's like whatever. And they're like, I don't know. And they show them another weird space. And the realtor's like, I don't know what they want. And this is the weirdest thing. They take the firehouse.
Of course they do.
And they complain. We don't know what to fill it with, though. I don't get it. There's one couple, a guy goes, I want a fixer-upper. I want something nasty that I can do my project. Then the girl goes, I want a finished house that I can live in. I want a fixer-upper. And he looks at a wall and he goes, oh, it'd be great if there was no window there and I could put in a window. What do you want? You want your imagination, motherfucker? And then I complained about this on Twitter. There's a guy that's like, I don't want a pool. And his wife is like, I want a pool. And his two kids go, I want a pool. You are a fucking heel.
Well, you gotta take care of the pool.
But the guy looks like the super nerd, John Carmack. Mm. He looks like John Carmack. He goes, I don't want a pool, but I need a workshop for when I make my inventions. Motherfucker, get your fucking family a pool. His wife is super hot, too. She's like, I really want a pool.
You are fully marked in.
I was marked in a little bit.
Your shows are
fully
good
marked in. Because you know, they tell these guys, okay, what's the deal? What's the conflict? All right, turn that up to 11.
Of course.
Yeah, maybe. You know? But this guy was like, it's so much upkeep. And, you know, pool is a bit of upkeep. But his wife and his two children who are like, 8, You're telling them
so marked out
that you can't have
the tool. Did you just point out how marked out he was, and he went right back to marking out?
Don't interrupt.
Off camera, they're like, he's like, kind of just like, I kind of don't feel like taking care of Pool. On camera, Pool, when I die.
Some guy is off screen telling me to dial it up to 11.
This is the kind of thing Matt's marking out. This is the kind of attitude that made me stop watching Pawn Stars to waste my life. Is because every episode of Pawn Stars and every episode of this is they're all exactly the same.
Yeah.
The guy comes in and is like, hey, so I got this rare thing. Oh man, genuine, that'd be worth a lot of money. Hold on, let's call in the expert. Call in the fake expert. Oh yeah, this is a fucking fake. This is a piece of shit.
Right.
Okay, so I'll give you 80 cents. Well, I'm really happy that I got it appraised.
No, the worst
of
Pawn Stars is when they go, this is actually worth $5,000. And the person gets super happy and they're like,
I'll give you
fuck.
$20 for it.
And then the fucking Pawn Stars asshole is like, I'll give you, you pay me. Yeah. And I'll take it. And they're like, but the guy just told me. He's like, oh, but dude, you have to help me out.
I work at Game Buzz.
It's only worth that. It's only worth that.
Criticizing a pawn shop for operating like a pawn shop.
I know. I'm just saying the person always gets disappointed when the guy.
Did you watch the episode where they had the fucking monster truck robot that's like a giant dragon and it could pick up cars and break them in half?
Yeah, Truckosaurus.
And they tried to sell Truckosaurus to him. But it was actually too much money for them to take.
The line is...
Because it breeds fire and
it's
shit.
It's only worth that money if we can find a buyer.
Well, exactly.
I know how it works, but I'm just making a comment on everyone doesn't understand.
I got a solid gold Lincoln letter covered in platinum and moon dust from the moon landing. Well, that's too expensive. We can't sell that. I'll give you this Pop-Tart.
Oh, come on. You're taking the piss out of it now.
The last two things...
It's meant to be taking the piss out of.
I know, but I like that show.
Can I have a everyone kind of likes it.
Not even a Pop-Tart with frosting.
No, not even
just
that.
Just the plate.
The last two things that you played, Titan Souls and Chroma Squad, right?
Yeah.
I played two games on Steam, one called Westerado Double Barrel.
I saw that one,
It's
by Adult Swim, right? Or published by
Adult Swim. Take the visuals of Hyper Light Drifter and mix it with Sunset Riders. Like the Konami game.
So, Sunset Riders.
Well, overhead kind of.
Sunset Riders, but less pretty.
Okay.
The pixel art of Hyper Light and the overhead camera. But it's super, super good. It's really, like, overwhelming. Like, you know, you feel really good on Steam when the reviews hit, it says those magical worlds. Overwhelmingly positive.
Here's all I need to know. Mm-hmm. Describe the controls.
It's, just. Since
you need
overhead,
three keyboards.
It's overhead, so you're moving.
No, just the controller.
Degrees.
What is the layout?
It's like shoot.
Stick? Twin stick?
No, not twin stick. It's A button
stick?
Shoot. Well, you can put them to whatever you want.
But shoot button, what else?
Not twin stick.
Okay.
You walk and you shoot in the direction you're walking.
I don't know what you want from me.
Sorry, I'm like, is there a shoot and then a roll or then a reload, switch ammo?
I didn't get super into it. I don't know if that stuff unlocks.
Okay, like other gun thing. Like I'm just because like the type of game like that, just getting the button layout is like you get a good idea for like what kind of game you're gonna get. With,
yeah,
like top kind of shooter. But all right, fine.
It's super good. And the other one is I told Pat about this a few months ago but it came out officially today. Guns, Gore, and Cannolis.
Yeah,
which is
true.
A straight up Contra game in the 1930s where you play as me because the main character has this gigantic jaw and a black beard and he's kind of pudgy and he's wearing like a 1930s gangster outfit and it's all of me and Pat's impersonations of that type of character. It's like, hey, come on, cannolis, breadsticks, and you just shoot guys and it's just a very simple
Johnny Rigatoni's adventures.
And there's a million different animations for how every guy on screen dies. Electrocuted, boiled in, like, hot water, shot in the head, knife to death, things crush them. And it's also, like, it's a shooter. It's, like, 2D shooter, like, straight, like, from left to right. You can also put in four Johnny Rigatonis at the same time.
Nice.
Then it becomes absolute madness.
With different suit colors.
It's different shades of suits. It's super fun. We should take a look at it sometime because it was just like, it writes itself. Mm-hmm. It was really, really fun. Really solid game. So
cool.
That's what I played this week.
Liam.
I finished Daredevil. That was a fucking good-ass show.
You were
almost
the whole like way through the movie. I was like, oh, I'll pick up a newspaper and say Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah,
just do that. Just throw me a bone. Yeah,
shit's exactly. going down to Hell's Kitchen.
That was really good. Kingpin was fucking great.
Yeah, how'd you feel about the finale?
It was great.
Yeah.
Why? Okay. Is there some sort of mix?
No, a lot of people dislike the finale.
No, it's great.
It's a really well done choice.
Yeah.
You know.
And he only wears the suit for like 7 minutes.
It's great.
And that is great.
It's great.
Exactly. I can't wait.
And if people hate the suit too much, they have a perfect out to make a slightly nicer suit or worse suit.
Yep.
Next time around.
I can't wait to watch season 2.
Yep.
I wanted to play Broken Age this week, but for whatever reason, I didn't really have the time to play it. But I did sit down and watch the second to last episode of the backer video thing, and it was like 50-something minutes long. I am telling you, if you listening to this podcast have any interest in how the sausage is made of video games, watch it. It's not, you know, obviously they're not going down to the code level and saying, okay, this does
math.
This. But I have never seen any video series that is as good a representation of this.
I just checked this out.
While still being incredibly entertaining to watch.
This is your, eighth pimp of this stuff.
I know.
I
love it.
I have to take you up on it. Like, I keep saying it, and I just forget.
Yeah, and I have to
watch it and then ask,
is that how it really is?
Yeah.
And you'll go, yeah, pretty much.
It's pretty spot on. And this one was the sad one before the final.
Yeah.
There's one last episode that still has yet
to come. And this is where you work at a fun place where people crack jokes and Tim Schafer's there. It's not where you work at the EA, slaughter factory ideas.
Yeah.
And even if you hate Broken Age and Tim Schafer because $3.3 million, dank memes, whatever, just check it out. It's still really, really good. So, you know, whatever. I played a little bit of Omega Quintet, which was a game we spoke about at length in our Games of April video.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. I loved it. It was your favorite game in there.
Dude. My memory.
I know.
It was one of those games where we kept asking you, what is that?
We forgot to do Games of May.
We're doing it later. That was really embarrassing when I'm looking at my Twitter and it's like May 4th. It's like, are you guys doing a Games of May? I'm like, oh.
Me and Wooly had the realization. Well, he realized it.
Yeah,
he pointed it out to me.
I brought it up on the 30th.
Just didn't follow
it's
up.
It's going to happen, though.
We're idiots. Yeah. That's the rule.
I played that a little. It's good Compile Heart schlock. I don't recommend it.
Did you just say good schlock?
It's schlock, but it's tasty. You're like, I really like this flavor of schlock.
I don't even know who you are anymore, Liam.
Like watermelon candy?
Candy's better than
if you like the flavor,
that's exactly what I mean. You know what good tasting schlock is the little banana candies. You know the ones that are rubbery?
No, it's like when you're walking near a vat and it's dripping and you taste it and you're like, yeah, this is good. Just keep tasting it.
Yeah, but you see dripping vats.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat.
Exactly.
It might be slurm.
It might be slurm. Whatever it is, it's good tasting schlock. I don't recommend it, but if you like their shitty games, you'll enjoy it. I wish good JRPGs could exist again.
Well, they happen.
They happen. You're right. They happen
now and then.
Can't wait for Xenoblade Persona.
Yeah, whatever.
SMT.
Watch it. Seeing Max stream fucking Xenoblade with fucking Simmons on translation duty reading a sheet was crazy.
I'm sure.
I don't know how people do that. I don't know how people do that. I'm going to just read the sheet when people are talking on the TV screen. It's horrible.
I don't know. What do you want to say? Yeah.
I mean,
it's a talent you pick up when
Shmup
you learn other languages, I guess.
Just deals with it.
Yeah, I know.
And if you care enough,
Shmup God Pat just doesn't read it. He just plays.
Yeah, he
exactly.
Plays.
Yeah.
Oh, I perfectly did it again.
Dude, I have fucking
no-hit run of Tales of Vesperia PS3.
I've got, maybe 60 pages of Third Strike, FAQ frame data, all that shit printed out from back in the Dreamcast days, flipping through it like a madman.
Yeah, and then soft resetting whenever anyone asks you a question.
Because we cared.
Yeah.
That's it. It's if you care, you'll go through the lengths. Mm-hmm. What did you print out back in the day?
I printed out a 500-page FF7 walkthrough.
Of course you did.
But fucked up the formatting when I copied it into a text file. So it was
Don't copy it over.
It was completely...
Save as.
It was so fucked up. And I still used it in its hyper fucked up state.
Well, I have that printed out, so I'll fax it to you.
No, you don't have
And then you'll have it perfect.
You know, the time for printing is over.
I'll fax it to you, man.
Printing is now old hat.
It's easy to find when you have dot matrix paper because then it's all connected. It's great.
Definitely. Man, it would be trouble if anyone had any of our fax numbers. People would just send us.
We don't have a fax.
I do.
You have a fax machine?
I have three fax machines stacked on top.
Oh. Well,
it's called the Ultra Fax.
Okay.
Businessing still uses it.
Yeah, no, businessing still uses it.
It's nothing that beats a fax machine.
For some reason.
Sign it. Now fax it.
How's your week, Pat?
No, my
week was awesome.
No, actually, fuck off.
Asked for
I couldn't tell if you were
faxed.
Winding down or not. I'm sorry.
Pat just stole the topic.
I'm sorry. I didn't know if you were winding down.
It was an honest mistake.
So there's just one other thing, and it's just a really little thing.
I didn't mean to steal it.
That's okay.
It's always
my
fault.
Woolly.
Yeah, it is my fault.
No, that's fine.
It's my fault.
It's just finally. One little feature of one little game that I think is really, really smart and could be applied to other games really well. So Knack, right?
Oh my god.
I went back
You're not doing this.
Don't give me that attitude.
Every day that we're walking home from Matt's on the podcast, this dude there's something to say about Knack.
To be fair,
yeah, but it's a joke every other time.
On the
today's for real.
On the air, it's been months.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
maybe, yeah.
You get one.
So I played it for a little while, and the last time I played it was at launch, right? And at launch, I kind of played it before any of my friends did, and so I didn't get to experience the multiplayer feature, which is really, really good. So the multiplayer feature of Knack is there's these treasure chests all over the game, and they drop random items in a Gashapon style of, like, 50. And the deal is you can pick the item you got in the chest or the item your friend got in the chest. And so whenever I open a chest, I get to look at the item, and then all my friends, what they got in
all
those chests.
All of them that play in the Knack.
Well, there was like six on my friends list.
Wow, okay.
And well, as I get further in the game, less and less of them.
Of course,
yeah.
Yes.
And you get to pick whichever Gashapon item you want from either what you got
or what they got. It's really fun, non-simultaneous multiplayer.
Something like that, exactly. And it's the kind of thing where, like, I think Castlevania Order of Ecclesia has random chests. That could be applied there perfectly.
That reminds me.
But you're not taking it away from your friend. No. You just have the option.
It's not quite the same, but that reminds me of how it was explained to me a long time ago how chests in Dota worked. Is say you would have a gold chest and you have a gold key that would open it. There are a million items in Dota, right?
Yeah.
But it would tell you it's going to be one of these eight items, and here's their percentage chances to drop. So you'd be like, well, there's a thing that I actually really want in here
as well,
so it's worth it for me to open this one. And it's not quite the same, but it's like doing weird, goofy shit with chest drops sounds interesting.
No, exactly, and like it's just a good, seamless multiplayer integration. No bullshit, really. No signing up for anything. It's just there.
Yeah,
and you just have other options.
No,
it's nice.
I think I'm definitely a fan of like fun, non-simultaneous multiplayer, with the hard exception of the Wii version of Rock Revolution, which you may or may not be aware.
That's on the nose.
The multiplayer mode.
I know so many people that tested that. That's crazy.
The only multiplayer they could have handled was going online and playing through a stage and then putting your score up and then sending it to your friend, and then later your friend sees your score and decides to challenge it.
Leaderboard fight.
And then send it back to you directly. Not even leaderboard.
Premier Guitar Hero competitor.
Well, that's kind of like, I think in the later Need for Speed titles, they had those things where it was like your rivals, and it would be pop-ups that would just happen like, you did it in this time, and your friend just did it in this time.
But
it wasn't leaderboards.
But at least that idea is like, it's just happening there. Mm-hmm. This was like, no, go find the friend
that you want to
send your challenge to.
Because he's the one who's going to take you up.
Because we don't have an active leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, fuck.
Was Rock Revolution published by Konami?
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's Konami. Yeah,
one of their.
Yeah, so anyone out there making games with random chests, think about that. This is really fun.
All of you out there,
it's a good feature.
There's like 30 people out there total, and none of them listen to this podcast that fit that description.
I feel like something like that would fit into like a Rogue Legacy kind of game.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, there's a lot of games where it would totally.
Yeah, in a game like Rogue Legacy, you'd get like a list of like 100 items that your friends got because so many people played that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pat. Yo, dude, my week was awesome. I'll spare you most of it because the vast majority of my week was like romantic, smoochy time with the missus who was in town. And
yeah, I had a great time with you this week.
Yeah, I know, right?
The vast majority of your week was 2 days?
Oh, no, it was 5 days.
Was it five? Wait,
yeah.
Really? I thought she was only on for 2 days.
Thursday, Sunday.
Oh,
that's
okay.
4 days. Whatever. I can't math. Fuck off. And that and her and my mom teaming up to make fun of me. How much of that do you guys deal with? Because every time it's
none?
Like, oh, you guys
zero.
Are teamed up and I can't fight this.
None?
Zero.
Oh, wow. Okay, well.
A little bit. Not much.
Because, like, my bit. Mom, like, looks forward to it. She's like, oh, man, I'm going to get to burn you so hard.
Burn that asshole.
Oh, great. But fucking great time. I did play a bunch of games, but not for any significant length of time.
Yeah.
Last week I talked about how, what are you doing on the watch, Pat? I don't know. I just want Witcher to come out. I'm going to play
yeah.
a bunch of bullshit and be
yeah.
miserable. And that's what I did. So let's fucking break it down. I fucking resubbed and quit
oh, yeah.
FF14
I got that.
Within 12 hours.
Could you get your money back?
No, I paid the $14. It was totally worth
okay.
it. What a great game. What it totally fucking scratched that itch. What a fantastic game. And I was playing as a tank, and I was having tons of fun. And then I got to level 11, and it said, hey, go on a guild test, which is like an instance where it teaches you
and
how
to... And that's the bit where you unplug your computer and throw it out the window.
That's where it teaches you how to play as a party.
Yeah.
And in the very first time that I played as a party, as the tank, I almost died because the healer wasn't healing me. And I said, fuck this! Fuck this whole genre! I hate it! Why can't...
Like I said, throw the computer out the window.
Don't scratch the itch. Have the skin surgically removed.
Like, why... Can't every MMO just be early era WoW up to level 47 where you could just solo the whole game?
I hate having to team up with people
I
in MMOs.
I hate it.
It's the worst.
It's the worst part. It's the absolute...
It makes me stop playing every time.
Are you serious? Are you
yes.
Serious?
Yeah,
no,
okay,
being
absolutely
okay.
Serious.
It, dude, it's the worst.
Every fucking time.
It's like, I know how to be a tank or a DPS and not a healer, because I'm
it's an MMO.
Yes, but I want
there
the
are
RPG.
It's a, no, shut up. It's an MMO.
I want the massive world, and I like the other people.
I know. Wooly, Wooly, I want them to... Wooly, Wooly, shut up. Shut up. Here's what I want. Here's what they want.
I love beat-em-ups, but I hate beating people.
No, hold on. It's very simple.
Name me a replacement single-player RPG with a world
that
massive
big.
And detailed.
The Reckoning.
No, it's not that big. This is what I want. I want them to rip out all the people and all the dungeons that require multiple people, and I want them to balance it for one person, and I want it to be an absurdly gigantic,
ooh.
Like,
play,
super RPG
play the
that, PS2 that
games.
I will pay $250
play
for.
Grand Theft Auto.
Modded Elder Scrolls games.
That's why I play Grand Theft Auto, but it's not enough.
Would you want size?
No, I want the gameplay too.
Just cause.
So
no, you have to play the Dot Hack games on PS2.
So
that's
there,
it.
So there was that experience. There was, as Matt mentioned,
man.
Me trying to play GTA 5 and going, this isn't enough. This isn't enough. And
not even dropping whales?
Not even.
Dude, I gotta say, by the way, because you're really relevant to this story. I played GTA 5 last week for the first time. I have come to realize, remember what I said about Watch Dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Every realistic open world game to me is a fun vampire.
Yeah. you just hate the whole genre.
And I didn't think I hated it, but I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I can't play for more than half an hour. I get
Sleeping
so
Dogs,
bored.
Sleeping Dogs is like
Sleeping
one of
Dogs
my favorites.
Is great.
Actually, I like Sleeping Dogs because it has cool combat
yeah.
and stuff.
That's
okay.
Good.
The first part of GTA 3 to me was just listening to the radio.
Sure.
Yeah. GTA 5 is weird. I cannot get the volume on the radio loud enough because there's no separate volume toggle for the radio. So you have to turn down the sound effects because the car engine noise is so loud, but then you have to put the dialogue boot. It's weird.
Playing first person, is it loud?
I ended up playing a good hour and a half of the PC version of Valkyria Chronicles.
Because
I was looking through the thing and the girlfriend says, oh, what's that? I said, well, it's Valkyria Chronicles. She says, well, what's that? So I'll show you. That game's amazing. Right? And you ever be in a position where something didn't hit you, you didn't notice it, but someone else did, and then them noticing it, you realize is the normal reaction, and that you're non-noticing it is the weird
did
one.
Did you get to the bit with Edie? Is that what
it is? No. The beginning of Valkyria Chronicles, it is this, like, yay, it's World War II, kind of. I'm sketching bugs, and I'm anime girl with twintails, and then in the next scene, it's Steve Bloom as an Imperial soldier kicking a pregnant woman to the floor. And you're like, we're gonna fucking exterminate you fucking pigs. We're gonna murder your baby. And then right back, oh, we got a little pig mascot. Yay, we're in a tank.
Yeah.
It's like, and then you talk to a party member like, I can't believe you have that fucking Darkson filth on our team. I get less accurate when I'm near them because I'm so seething with racist hatred.
Yeah.
And it's like constant. And girlfriend was like, what the fuck is this game? Like, I don't know. I never noticed the wild, incongruous nature.
Well, if you don't like that, there's a game for you, and it's Valkyrie Chronicles 2.
Okay, is it? Okay,
that game fucking sucks.
It's, yeah, I hear it.
What a step down.
Are like the Skies of Arcadia characters still in it?
Yeah, they're still
there. In the second one?
The first one, they're there. I'm Vice Singlebeard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vice is cool.
Come Fury, motherfucker.
I have a full Skies FAQ printed out at home.
It's yeah.
300 pages.
Yeah.
And it's massive.
I'm glad we've all done this.
It's in a binder.
You have to.
Dude, it's so weird. Like, there's a shot like, oh no, the windmill blew up. And you see the villagers running and the soldiers advancing. And you're like, okay. And then it cuts to the shoulders. Soldiers gunning down all the civilians in this painterly anime Miyazaki style. Like, it's so weird. That game's the weirdest. And I never noticed until somebody pointed it out, and it fucking freaked me out.
It's pretty colorful for war.
I know! It's so pastel and stencil drawing and shit. And like, oh, you, let's go get the gun. Oh, I'm dead. Like, it's fucking bizarre.
It's not like everyone was like, oh, Advanced Wars is really colorful. And then when they did the gray
Portrait
one,
of Ruin.
Portrait of Ruin.
That's a Castlevania game.
Days of Ruin.
Whatever. Those games were right next to each other in my little DS box thing that had the, you know, the...
And then a lot of people just go, yeah, Days of Ruin, the gray, unfun one.
Yeah. I like that one a lot.
No.
Fucking love
Eagle. Gameplay-wise, it's still great. Yeah. It's just, like, some people were like,
Eagle's the best.
So I played
Canbei's pretty cool too.
You know that game was download only in Japan?
Really?
On the DSi. It was DSiWare only in Japan.
Weird.
Yeah.
I played one more game and I did one more thing. I talked to Liam about this a while ago, like how there's games that you adore, but they're gone now. And no matter what you do, you're never going to get them back. So for me in particular, it's Day of Defeat 1.3, not Source.
Yeah,
Source
from
it. And I mentioned it last week. And it's like, well, me and Liam had a long conversation about this.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what the fuck are you supposed to do? Even if I abuse my Twitter account, right? And just say, hey, everybody, I'm making a Day of Defeat server. Everyone, come on in. The game's
$1.
That's what I proposed,
yeah.
Anyone can run it, right? What's going to happen? I'm going to run into people who suck, who had never played it. It's like, Wooly, imagine no one heard about Third Strike, or Third Strike was gone. You're like, hey, everybody, come to my house and play Third Strike. And people just walked off on the off the street to play Third Strike with you. Would you have fun? No. Because
yeah.
You'd stomp all over them. You want competition. So I mentioned this problem on Twitter, and so you should check out the server list. I go, it's all zeros. Like, the game is actually just dead. Like, it's completely
gone. Well, I mean, what you probably need to do there is find a community.
Yeah.
And
so,
hang out with them.
So, every server under my criteria, which are not stringent, not password protected, not empty, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Somebody finally got a hold of me and said, there's this server. This server has 9 people on it. That's not a lot. Those servers go up to 32 people, but fuck it.
Yeah.
You can play a game with 10 people.
And you know those 9 people are on there for a while.
If they're running a fucking 24/7 Avalanche server this far into the future, yes.
Yeah.
So I go in there and I'm playing it, and I'm like, wow, not only am I playing it, I'm not only did not get rusty, I'm better than ever. I'm like at 32-10 in KD. And then the guy who mentioned the server list to me comes in and is like, oh man, this server's great. Wait a second, Pat. These are all bots. I go, no. No, they have pings. They have pings, though.
Says,
dude, their
you.
Pings aren't changing. and then a guy on the server says, well, they're not all bots. There's 3 of us here.
Oh.
And that's why I was, like, smoking it, because I'm fighting against fucking Counter-Strike bots.
That's adorable.
And I played for maybe 45 minutes, and I'm like, man, I still know all the map X points on Avalanche. I know how to get into the spawn location. And it's like, but against bots?
You know how to kill that bot.
Against
good.
Bots, it's pointless.
Against bots, it's like, everyone who's playing this game should know that on Avalanche, on the Axis side, there's a little hole that you can climb into next to the window that shoots out onto the thing that you can watch people run out of their spawn and just blow them away.
Mm.
And you can jump in between this series of attics and be all hide and seek and preactively stall them
handle that.
So they can't get to the flags. But the bots just run past you and you shoot them in the back.
That's not what I want. No! And it's gone. It's gone forever.
The metagame is dead.
It will never come back. Yeah. I will never get it back, and there's nothing to be done. So if you, if anyone has that game out there, unless you have those people in your life, just give up and leave it as a memory.
Just give up?
Because it's going to be gone. I'd rather have had nothing than have played this sham. Like, I didn't even get to play Saints. I didn't even get to play my fucking, or Flash, my two favorite fucking maps. I didn't, ugh. Ugh!
But remember, Pat, I did tell you, you can reach out to your wide community and say, hey, I need you guys to practice. And you can
come back and
you can revive it yourself.
I played that game every night for 3 hours for like 5 years.
There's well, you better get starting that fucking community.
And I wasn't even that good. No one's going to have the fucking patience to do that.
When I got MechWarrior 2 working for MechaWeek, like, at one point, I just went over to the multiplayer screen and just stared at it and got sad.
Because you couldn't
just
click.
Just got really sad.
Yeah,
no, you can load in with bots.
Yeah, and it's, and it's right. bullshit.
That's it.
I could run my own private server on my PC now, but no one's going to join it.
Mario Kart DS as well. It's like, wow, really? I can't play that online.
Yeah, so that was a huge bummer.
No more good competition, because if you just snake, you win.
And
there's no other people to snake with.
Probably the weirdest thing that I ran into doing this is there used to be an old trick/glitch where you couldn't cook grenades in Day of Defeat. What you could do is throw them straight at the floor and pick them up and use the throw grenades back function in order to manually cook them. But the frame rate that the game is running at now on my computer, I can't actually do it anymore.
Because it's too fast.
Because it's running at like 400 frames a second or something, and it bummed me out. Like, you used to run forward, and by the time you get to the first sandbag on Avalanche, you throw your pineapple, you pick it up, you throw it directly into that hole in the wall, and you kill two guys. Same thing every fucking match. And now you can't do it while moving, and like, it totally bummed me out. So that was a horrible experience. Now, that being said, did you guys see the big Pacquiao fight? Did you watch it?
No.
So, I recently, and well, you did too, watched EPO. So I was like, yeah, boxing, right? So I went over.
Oh, but no.
Hold on. Wait for it. So I go over to a friend's place for dinner. It's like, you know, a bunch of couples, that kind of thing. We have dinner, and then my friend says, yo, the Pacquiao fight's going to be on in like an hour. Oh, yeah, okay. Boxing's cool. That's a big fight. Let's watch the Pacquiao
real
fight.
Boxing, yeah.
So it's me and my girlfriend and a bunch of my friends sitting on these couches, like talking, watching.
Thanks
the fucking,
for inviting us.
Yeah, fuck off.
Same thing every time we say
that's
anything.
That's okay. That's okay. Fine.
Yeah.
All right. I understand now.
Yeah.
But we're all sitting there, and it's the first fight. It's a Russian guy against a Puerto Rican guy who has
I'm Russian guy.
It's like the
Vorg.
The first match is a fucking like title match for the featherweight, and it's like. This is just like EPO, right? So then we're watching the second.
Clinch!
So we're watching the second match.
Oh,
and
corner.
I don't even remember who's fighting because I look over and my girlfriend is underneath my arm asleep. And I look over to the right and my friend is asleep. And
also
Then I look at the TV and I realized a weird amount of time has passed, which means I was asleep.
And the TV is asleep.
And then once we all wake up, because I'm like, oh, we should watch. The stream is dead because we're not watching it legit. And then it's like, oh, okay. And then we all just went home and didn't see the Pacquiao fight because it turns out no one actually cares about boxing.
That fever dream of
even,
a night.
Even the guy who was like, yo, let's watch the fight
was
like kind of nodding off and doing dishes instead of watching the fight.
The only thing I know is that guess what you missed? Mayweather, like literally described as a turtle.
Get ready for the next clinch.
Just clinching and clinched it out and won somehow.
By decision. Lame.
To 12 rounds, though, but still.
Yeah. Like, you know what says everything? The fucking title match, the very first match, ended with when the guy took a body blow, like the single punch to the stomach.
Yeah, I know it's all takes.
Took a knee, and then stayed on his knee for the 10 count, and then got up and looked confused, and was, did you just throw the fight? Did I just, in my first boxing match that I've ever seen in my life,
really obvious...
did I just see a very obvious dive in the 8th round?
Because shit.
The main thing looking at Twitter is...
Boxing sucks.
Yeah. I saw lots of people like Jib Bailey and some other like personalities just going, wow, this sucks.
Yeah.
People wasted $100 on this fucking fight and it wasn't entertaining.
People I've seen never talk about boxing, just saying it sucks. And I never hear boxing stuff anywhere.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing too. Is like, and a lot of people going like... UFC is way better, and then some other people coming out and going, you guys should know that boxing's a technical sport, and da 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 da, and so on. But, like, yeah, no, apparently just wasn't entertaining.
I want to see the Americans' ribs explode in slow motion!
And not when there's this much money on the line and this many egos coming to headbutt. And, like, you can just go watch Floyd Mayweather's Punch-Out summary video, which is on YouTube now.
Great.
Which sums the whole thing up in a nice little 8-bit video.
The two Twitter pictures, one from Floyd Mayweather, where it shows a gigantic jumbo private jet that's his, and he goes, "Welcome to my world." And then it shows Pacquiao's or whatever.
Pacquiao.
And it shows him in his car with his family saying, "I hope I do well. God bless." That's the difference.
And then Pacquiao's mom is doing her voodoo curses at the ring.
Jagger tooth! You should just do it in the middle of
the Mayweather's Punch-Out video starts with them putting in the code to go fight Mayweather right away. And, like, before the fight starts, you get to a black screen, which is, here, Pat, you can see this. "To fight Floyd, do you agree to wear his gloves, fight at the MGM, be tested daily, get less money than him, not be in your prime, stay in the hotel basement, sell TMT t-shirts, and no rematch?" And then you select no, and it shoots you back to the title screen.
Yeah, that's about right.
You know? All these things.
So, good times, yeah.
Oh, what a fucking...
Now you know. I'm surprised you didn't know.
Just like an entire room of people falling asleep during a fight. Fight!
The best part about that entire thing was the shot of Las Vegas airport parking lot where everyone's jets were backed into full capacity thing where they were parked like with the wings making upside down V's and V's next to each other.
Right.
You know what
so
I mean?
Like, as close together as possible.
Crammed. Full parking.
Jimmy Kimmel, why are you in Mayweather's entourage? You don't belong here. Go away, Jimmy Kimmel.
Go back to fighting Matt Damon. Do it.
All right, so yeah, let's just
get... Great week, but man, boxing is the worst.
Because it both spoiled us.
Yeah. Mm. The anime version of a sport is always going to be more dramatic and super powered.
Hey, this Prince Tennis is super good. Let me watch some tennis.
When does Andre Agassi or Serena Williams destroy the dinosaurs?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. When is Charles Barkley going to do a real chaos stomp?
When does Barry Sanders see the laser arrow cutting through the defensive line as he fucking spins
fucking
off of
never.
Oh my god.
When you watch NASCAR, it's nowhere near as exciting as Initial D.
See, this is why I've said it on this podcast before, and I'm going to keep saying it until it happens. I fully believe that we should have a new form of sport, and it's genetically enhanced drug addicts versus cyborgs. This is what I want.
This is a good business plan.
I want Mutant League.
Remember, Australia had those battle suits.
Yeah. Oh, that's
but they need
that
to be.
That one looks promising. But I
You're
want
right.
them to be fucking sky high on meth or
like,
super meth.
I
I'm sorry, Brennan Williams, but your job would be way cooler with lasers and drugs involved.
Yeah. He can make it happen.
I want to see arrows on the fucking field as dudes are grabbing.
I want athletes that think their limbs will grow back.
Yeah, I know. So they'll push themselves a little bit harder.
Mm.
Giant crushers on the field in football.
We need hands.
Bo Jackson, are you just holding on to the ball?
Hey, Bo Jackson, I think you should change your first name to Bones and become a skeleton, you lazy.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Bones Jackson! He's a skeleton!
Good week for games. Good week for games.
Better than last week.
Got some stuff.
Yeah, last week was the bummerest.
The huge story is... Yooka-Laylee, Banjo-Kazooie's spiritual successor, hit all of its stretch goals in the first day.
In the first minute and a half.
It's the fastest Kickstarter of all.
So,
everyone loves Banjo-Kazooie.
We got Mighty No. 9, we've got Broken Age. And I guess Wasteland would be
Eternity Wasteland.
Yeah,
torment.
Yeah. Up in
Do
those.
Do you mean for successes or for big money?
Instant successes.
Oh, okay.
Like kablam! Oh shit!
Yard's Venture.
I like
open
how
Shadowrun
open,
did
open
really
the
well.
Gates and Black Friday Rush.
Yeah, Shadowrun did really
so
well.
I
so
I like how they did,
all but both Shadowruns.
Lots
actually,
of other ones.
They
that
honestly
were
didn't
too.
Know that they'd do all their stretch goals that fast, so they were just like, what are you tell us what are stretch goals, and people are like, DK rap, okay.
Yeah.
And then you see the guy, Grant Kirkhope, who's like,
yeah,
he said we'll make force him to make a new DK rap because he was the guy that did the original
GK
one.
Rap
and the GK rap, and he goes, I like how they put that as a tier without ever asking me. I almost lived down the original.
There's a lot of stretch goals that you get the feeling like that with Eternity. It's like we're gonna force Chris Avalon to play Arcanum. Like, I don't think he wanted to play Arcanum.
So the one that they just added last night was orchestral.
Well, that's
score.
What I was about to say.
That totally.
That's
makes
probably
sense.
My favorite. Like one of my favorite stretch goals I've ever heard in anything is we're just gonna score the game instead.
Yeah.
Like that's nuts. That's super cool.
Well, it's at the
is,
point where you're like, is this music gonna be as good as Tropical Freeze? Maybe.
All that is
fucking
like
it's David Wise.
Yeah,
so
it's
it could
all
be.
The Tunky Kong Country composer.
Exactly.
It's like, all that is like, let's just use money to make this thing that we were always going to do
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
Because that, like, and
yeah, that
obviously
sounds
there's
a
little
like
bit
the,
more work.
The, like, they, were they always going to make this and this is just to add shit to it? Mm-hmm. Or what?
I think those characters were going to be support characters in the new Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay.
But that didn't work out, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing hit me harder than because when the character design for Yuka and Laylee came
yeah,
out, we kind of talked about this. We did a video not too long ago. And
it's
so
going to take a while before
it's
that
take
comes
a while
out.
That
though.
Shows up, but we're talking about like all these character designs are fine. They're not
a little plain.
Their
renders aren't as good as the art.
As,
the
concept,
as somebody who doesn't give a, never played Banjo. No, I played a little bit of Banjo
Barely.
Kazooie and don't care. I think that these designs are nowhere near as good as Banjo and Kazooie's design.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Not even close.
It's very plain.
What kind
like
of
from the color
me,
dynamic to the space.
What kind of turned me is that I'm not sure if you saw the little black and white comic of Yuka and Laylee waving and they're going to have fun.
And then
you see
yeah.
a withered old Banjo Kazooie saying, "You guys have fun." And I was like, okay, nope. Their character designs
there's your
really
Inafune
good.
Don't die moment.
Yeah.
It orchestrated by fans, but
yeah.
still.
No, for sure. But yeah. it made me appreciate the entire project a little bit more because Banjo-Kazooie, like,
yeah.
imagine if Rare's game at E3 will be Banjo-Kazooie. That would be so
dude, how many Mighty No. 9 ones had Beck going off with Mega Man sending
yeah,
him on
exactly.
his way?
Dude, the one with
the
all
Mega
the
Man.
Stormer Mega Man
Come
in
on.
The movie.
You know, it's
yeah.
just,
like,
the,
that one was over the top.
It's the go-to thing.
The fun thing about Rare, though, are these, you know, Rare guys, is that they know that, they kind of know that they're Rare's strength was never really character designs per se. You know, there's some good here, some there, but their art style's never been, so you know, it's like mostly the charm and
yeah.
the levels and all that. And on their Kickstarter page is like, yo, if you are Kickstarters, don't worry, we won't put more eyes on them. They know that their thing is putting googly eyes
googly
on
eyes.
Everything,
yeah.
and they know it's stupid. They're
good.
Like, yeah, we'll put more googly eyes.
Put a googly
eyes.
Eye on this rock. Put
yeah,
a googly eye
that's
on
a rare
tree.
Character. There, we're done. Set it to go.
I, you know, with all the money, I hope like part of that is having a few alternate models or a few alternate
yeah, yeah.
designs.
No, the N64 mode.
For fun stuff, yeah.
Oh boy,
the N64
nice.
Model
that's
mode.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really
yeah.
Really yes. I think, I hope, and I'm sure Liam would agree, that with like 40 days left to go,
yeah.
that they would probably consider putting 3DS and Vita versions out.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, no,
that's something
always
that they
one
can
of those
obviously
things.
Spend the money to have someone else.
Yeah,
score.
I remember saying on the first day, like, I really hope that one of their Playtonic projects is a handheld thing. Because, like,
I think as
I don't
time
know, but
goes
Rare,
on,
like, Rare always had a bit of presence there.
Not
so,
really.
Well, they did on the Game Boy.
Yeah, but, you know, after console versions.
Like, I don't know
maybe
what kind of game is this.
This
is a big
much,
open
much later.
Like level
3D.
Game.
It's level based.
Big 3D
like
level
I'm game. I'm of the opinion that they should like push it to the absolute limits of whatever these consoles can do
oh.
in terms of size, so that the idea of porting them is like laughable.
I just
well,
no. I mean, I think they can do something. For
I
sure.
just think with like the fucking like 15 or 16 stretch goals already hit, they would have mentioned it already. If they were considering,
I think
well,
that,
no, but no, but
they come
what,
to the thing like, well, what else can we do?
But it's the context of what Matt's saying, where they're already at the point of, and they have 40 days left.
Yeah, 40 days.
That's the
or
context.
43, like,
maybe, because
I like Conker's Pocket Tales. was a good game.
Oh, you just mean some weird spinoff thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, no, wasn't that the original Conker game before he was Dark? No, that was 12
Tales Conker 64, and then they made some weird spinoff after Conker's
No, but Pocket Tales came out before 64.
And it was Conker's the innocent, like, little cute guy.
You know what I love about this Kickstarter?
The Kickstarter thing.
It's listed in pounds.
Yeah.
So when you see 1,334,956 pounds...
That's more than the British Treasury.
That's a lot... That's
a lot.
That was my good Irish accent.
I know, that joke really got flubbed.
Oi. Crikey, I'm an Irishman.
How much pence? How much pence is
many
it?
As many pence in the hour.
Anyway, I went from like, yeah, this project's neat, I put in some money, but then like the huge swell behind it, everyone going nuts for it, is like what put me even more on board in a weird way.
I did not expect that type of reaction from people. I expected success over time.
I think Nuts and Bolts made people go, oh yeah, I want an actual good game.
I did not think that, like...
Because I hate Nuts and Bolts.
How do I put this? Like, I thought that adventure game people and like computer RPG people were way sadder and... about their games dying than the Banjo-Kazooie people were
like,
about their character going away.
At least Mario and some other like things here and there have kept platformers relatively...
But I guess there's just way more people that cared about Banjo-Kazooie.
But just think about like how few colorful platformer games there
also
are these
collect-a-thons.
Days.
Also
there's
like,
Mario.
Like, guess what? I'm really enjoying playing Knack because there's nothing else.
Right.
There is nothing else.
And then when this comes out and hopefully it's good, you can just start to shit all over Knack like the rest of us.
I don't even remember the argument we had about this a while ago, but like, yeah, if you ever need proof in the pudding, like, it's fucking there. Also, nailing the name in one go.
Yeah,
it's real hard to type into your phone. Because your phone doesn't want any part of that shit.
I just put Yuka, and that's like every story is just this, so...
Yeah. So that's a great success for video games.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a great failure for movies. Have you seen the screenshot of the Suicide Squad?
Yes.
That shit's embarrassing.
Wait, I think when we were in Buffalo, we met all those people at the Hot Topic.
It was really embarrassing.
Is it that bad? I haven't seen it.
Dude, his dreams about what Harley will look like are way, way worse than what...
It's pretty
like,
bad.
It's the worst Harley ever.
The thing that I said, please don't do that...
They did it.
They made it worse than that.
Like, they quadrupled down on it.
Yeah. Yeah, not a bit more than
exactly. It's a mix of what she looks like in Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, but worse.
Well, here, Pat's slowly...
I'm trying to get this...
Will Smith is so
trying to get
sad
the
to
fucking
be there.
Picture.
Oh my god,
Pat,
just come around here.
Pat's knitting me a picture of it.
Just come around here,
knit this
dude.
Picture.
He's knitting a picture.
I can do it.
And don't forget Killer Croc, your favorite.
And it's also revealing everyone at the same time.
Except for Joelka.
I can't get it to full screen, that's the problem.
That's the crew, and it's a bunch of guys.
How much did they spend on this picture?
I don't know, but that's how you reveal everybody. There's Deadshot, and
there's
Killer Croc. Yeah.
That looks
fucking
hideous.
Killer Croc is played by Adewale.
Just another piece of evidence that the DCCU needs to die.
Let's just rush into it.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have 8 movies like Marvel did to catch up, so let's just throw out 20 characters simultaneously and put one...
Now, to be fair, Suicide Squad was its own comic.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
And it's a thing. But all of these characters have history. A lot of them are Batman villains. A lot of them are for some other things. So you're kind of, fast-tracking
this. I can see the complaint in that characters in Age of Ultron didn't get enough fucking backstory. What the fuck are they going to do for Zazz in this movie?
Yeah,
so here's what you're looking at. You're looking at a company that... is being forced into the MCU sort of competition age.
But they're 10 years late!
But without forming Marvel Studios first.
No, I disagree. They're not being forced into it. They are trying to crawl into it in the ugliest way possible.
And remember, Warner's owns...
Nothing's pushing them.
Yeah,
they're just making pathetic effort to get in.
Between now and 2018, I believe, there's like 5 or 6 movies planned as well still coming. So,
for who?
And Aquaman, Wonder Woman,
and
all
like,
that stuff.
The director for Wonder Woman, we didn't talk about this.
I was just going to mention
that. She just quit.
Yeah, so DC was saying, like, well, we don't want to have the overbearing, like, Kevin Feige, is that how you say his name? the Marvel Studios guy, like overseeing every movie.
We don't want a guy making sure everything's consistent.
No, no,
no. Kevin Feige,
like the producer for Marvel Studios,
the showrunner,
makes sure that it all fits.
Yeah, right.
We don't want to have some overbearing guy walking around saying you can't do this in your movie. You can't do this in your movie. We want these movies to breathe and be their own. And then the fucking director on Wonder Woman walks out over arguments with like the DC people because it's not fitting what Snyder's shit looks like.
It's just, it's like, you know, Marvel had, and still is, failing at some things, like the TV show, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But they had years of failure to
build up to the point where they made
Marvel Studios.
They had years of giving their characters to other studios and seeing who fucked up, who, like, the hardest, what mistakes were made. Like, okay, let's...
Now they just have to kill the right people to get their brands back.
And learning how to make good movies the hard way, not, like, that blind... It's this weird corporate blindness where it's so big that you're unable to tell that a product is bad.
You don't get why this product is successful or unsuccessful.
Exactly. It's literally that.
Did you guys read that stuff about what the new Spider-Man from Sony was going to be? He was going to be like a club DJ.
Yeah, there was that.
Way into dance music and all sorts of shit.
Sick.
Yeah. This is funny. And there's the line, because the kids seem really into it. Like, that's a line on the thing.
Wow. Like, exactly. Like, no actual fact.
Depressingly right.
They have no idea.
The kids like EDM, right?
How or why these things are good or bad.
Spider-Man's a kid.
Yeah.
Go kids back like to Suicide Squad. Stop showing bad photos. Just don't show nothing.
Anything.
Show a trailer,
exactly.
And maybe the trailer will be good and make people go, oh, look, in context, this looks better. Because when I first saw this, I go, hey, look, Mystery Men 2.
Don't show
care about these guys.
Don't show Deadshot getting out of a car in his pimp uniform that looks absurd.
Or I also think of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I see a bunch of characters show up, and you're just like, who? I don't.
Just
what a tragedy.
Or the Avengers.
Sorry?
The Avengers. Okay. Not The Avengers?
Oh, The Avengers.
The Avengers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's not
imagine
a good
that
look.
Movie tried to get a reboot now.
So...
Or show.
So, like, all debate about Jared Leto aside, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, well, we have to wait for the footage, but it doesn't matter anymore.
Optimism is low.
I like how you also have the new John Connor and the new Alex Murphy in that shot. Not John Connor, sorry, Kyle Reese. Kyle Reese is Rick Flagg, I believe. No, the new Alex Murphy is Rick Flagg, and I don't know who the new Kyle Reese is.
And this was supposed to be a star-studded movie. Like, they were supposed to get everyone.
Right there?
Who was in it? Tom Hardy was originally going to be
Hardy,
Rick Flagg.
Smith.
And then guess what? He dropped out because he saw it.
You know?
I guess.
I mean, I guess they're cutting their fangs on the WB, on the CW, rather, on the TV shows, and they're using that as their, like, proving grounds, and it's like, that's not gonna fucking fly, man. Anyway, that's garbage.
I hear Arrow's got a hot chest.
Yeah.
We missed this game last year, and now it's coming back with a vengeance.
Coming back.
Combat Core. Is this game that had a...
We played it at a con recently.
It had a Kickstarter last year.
Sure.
And we completely missed the noise about it because I didn't... Well, first of all...
we would have backed the shit out of this.
First of all, I didn't play it at whatever con you're talking about. I missed this. Right? This is news to me.
Fair, okay.
And what... And
MechFest.
Was it the... Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Did not see it
didn't
at all,
see it. Then. Didn't know. But, went to go check out what's the history of this game because it's like a Power Stone spiritual successor type of thing.
It's not the same
Power Stone people,
yeah.
So it's not exactly a spiritual
nobody
successor.
From Capcom.
But it's definitely inspired by it heavily. And so this got greenlit last year, and it had a Kickstarter, and the Kickstarter failed spectacularly.
Mm-hmm. That sucks.
It barely didn't get out of three digits, right?
Yeah.
And,
oh, shit.
I guess something happened over the last
year.
Right, just kept working on it.
And
slower,
they just kept working on it, and now it's resurged, and it's got this new footage out. including artwork from our buddy Alex Ahad.
Yeah.
Right? Over at the Skullgirls crew.
Him and another person from Udon. They're both...
Roboto.
Yeah.
Roboto.
And you can tell because the quality of the character art like looks like it's like Power Stone
skyrocketed.
Quality. Amazing.
Amazing character designs.
Right.
And the big wrestler girl, Ember, who has like power bombs and German suplexes.
Every character's art looks fucking cool.
Yeah, it looks... And our friend Takahata is playing one of the... is playing the Boruto of this show.
Really?
The show Bruiser.
Huh.
This is where I first found this. Where I linked to you guys when I saw it because Takahata wrote, look, I'm playing the main character.
Oh,
the blonde,
okay.
Blonde kid that kind of looks like Wang.
Wang Tang.
In his powered up form.
I just caught it through the news, news feed. But, so it just gets coming back and it's gotten a whole bunch of people that we're friends with, it's cool,
and
attached
right now,
to it, that are like...
It's got a really weird selection of platforms coming on PC, Wii U, and Xbox One.
That is the weirdest selection of platforms, you're right.
And,
that is really odd,
So watching some of that like combat footage, it just seems to have, the full-on four-player Power Stone type thing.
A lot of good melee.
No gem collection, but a more advanced combo system than Power Stone.
Definitely.
There's some serious juggling happening, bounces.
The only thing I'm not sure is that all the stages just seem to be like this holographic...
Fusion Frenzy stages.
Fusion Frenzy or Custom Robo, which I hope
even
that
Custom
more.
Robo has more art going on.
Yeah,
this is money saving stages.
Oh yeah, they're just
hope
grids.
That there's a little more going on there.
I think that might just be a money situation.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just the characters look so solid and very organic looking and like nice and
yeah.
Just
you're hearing a crowd as they're fighting,
so
but you're not seeing a crowd.
Yeah, I get you.
So we'll see, but I just dropped a link to this because I'm like, I completely missed this game. It was super off my radar until this moment.
Also, a solid name.
I didn't really
good name.
Is Itsuno on the docket this week?
What about the Rival Schools thing?
No, the fucking DMC thing that he said today in an interview.
No,
we are making DMC 5.
Is going to expand, and the more of you buy DMC 4 SE, the faster it'll happen.
Okay.
So,
the test.
So, we're back. No, but the important thing is that he didn't say the likelihood. He said the speed.
Well, they already said this before.
Yeah, I know.
Mercury was one of Capcom's
five. So all I have to do
is do the thing you're already going to do.
Yeah.
And then tell everyone like you already were going to.
Yeah. All right. Great.
Can't wait for DMC Chronicles.
I get a personal email. Wooly, your Virgil...
Real shooter.
Wooly's Virgil lifestyle is making DMC 5 happen. Naturally. I like it. That's good. There's more footage, dude.
I know.
And it's not enough.
I know. Because the person that played that stream was terrible.
It's
enough.
That guy sucked. Now I know how the fans feel.
Yeah.
Oh!
And Itsuno also said, yo, does anybody like Rival Schools? I like Rival Schools.
Yeah, but I didn't put that on the docket for 2 weeks now, because he said that a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's
he said that before.
That's
that.
The extent of the story.
And also a year before that, hey, do you guys like Darkstalkers? Buy Darkstalkers. Oh, none of you bought Darkstalkers? And there's not going to
be
Darkstalkers.
Yeah, but it's Itsuno.
Oh,
no.
Isn't it, like, actively sad how pathetic the flop was for Darkstalkers?
Yeah,
where it came out and the sales were like,
and Resurrection
flat-lined.
Was such a good package.
I didn't even buy
for
it
for completely understandable reasons.
Nobody cares about Darkstalkers.
I think Rival Schools could succeed.
Once
in
you
game.
Start,
yes,
so.
Rival Schools is 100 times better than Darkstalkers.
I don't think it could succeed anymore.
I think it could because it's got anime girls all over it. It's not hard to market that,
dude.
Liam's right. Anime girls,
no, but that's not marketable as much.
A harem of new designs of Rival School style characters.
Oh,
that shit's free.
No, I want that. It's not gonna happen.
Let's get the new generation of Rival Schools. All their little brothers and sisters.
Yeah, and everyone's grown up. And
Shoma's the fucking teacher of social studies.
Roy's in a business suit.
Teaching
think
gym.
About it this way.
Oh, God!
I know! Ono lobbied for years, make Street Fighter, and then he had to convince and plead and beg, and he finally got a greenlit, and it was a huge success for Capcom. And they're making a Street Fighter V, be it with someone else's money, because Capcom, for whatever reason, can't afford it. But he still got that going. That same guy said, let's do the same to Darkstalkers, and couldn't do that. I don't see how Itsuno has a better chance of getting right.
He's their golden child. The problem with Darkstalkers, and the reason why it can't go any further, is because gameplay-wise, people don't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, I also think the character designs don't sell nearly as much as a game with tons of girls would.
That's true,
like,
too.
I think that's...
That's true, too.
It's a cool, thematic
game about... It's a cool thematic game about...
It's cool monster games. Like, it's got, like, Felicia, Morgan, Lilith, and QB... And then, but then you've got Sasquatch and Pyron and like tons of just unmarketable.
You're basically
nothing.
Describing Killer Instincts.
You know,
no, I know.
It speaks for itself. It's like it's not just like, oh, it was an upset. We can't believe this happened. It's like,
and plus, Vampire Resurrection was like, look, fucking stain on the floor.
To me, when I think about it in my head, it's because what I prefer. But when I think of Darkstalkers, I think of werewolf, vampire, cat girl, witch, insect girl. I'm able to easily go through it. And then I start thinking about rival schools, and while there's characters I like, 80% of them all bleed together, and they're just...
I feel exactly the same way in reverse.
But you're in a super minority, because most people want the other thing.
Sure.
Also, it's a funner game.
I'll never.
Natsu hits the volleyball. Roberto kicks the soccer ball. Shoma hits
the
baseball.
Playing Rival Schools on a Fisticuffs when we did Darkstalkers.
But yeah. Rival Schools has textbook combos. They're textbook.
Dude, Kyoko on her own would fucking pass that Kickstarter.
Hideo's old man Ryu with a tie and shoulder pads.
Yeah.
That's the coolest. Do your homework, or I'll shuriken you. What?
Rival School's coming back.
Ah!
Love it.
As a rail shooter.
I'd play it.
Every time I get excited, Matt's there to snipe that enjoyment.
Go play Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
It's not enough.
Enjoy Batsu in
It's not... I don't like Batsu.
You don't like Batsu?
I hate him. He's one of my most disliked main characters of a thing ever. Main character of Rival Schools is Shoma.
Yeah.
Not,
whatever you say.
Anyway.
That.
Or Daigo or Akira or Gan. Whatever.
I'm sorry. If you're a character inspired by Grappler Baki, you win in my book forever.
I don't like to play as him.
Alright.
Like, all right. Sucks.
Whatever you say.
Batsu's a loser. Daigo is cool.
We had a really cool moment where the guys at archive.org figured out how to embed old DOS games into tweets.
That is high tech stuff.
And like, you could play the full game in a given tweet.
I want to play
Biomedis. My phone,
and like, then Twitter shut it down and got rid of it.
Stop using our service for cool shit.
They don't want people messing. Yeah, they don't want people messing with their.
See here now. Let's take a good lesson from this. Did Archive, what's that place called?
Archive.org.
Did they tell Twitter they were going to do this beforehand?
Well, no, they just announced it, and
no,
it was out.
No, they didn't. They just put it out, and for a little while, you got to do it.
Yeah.
But if they
If they had told Twitter, we would have never had this moment of brilliance.
Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness.
I'm just amazed that like it was actually shut down, because archive.org is a huge,
it's
like,
a real,
monolith
it's a real thing,
internet institution.
Yeah, but Twitter's dumb.
I like Twitter.
Got to protect your code from malicious code. And in this case, Nazis are malicious code.
They kind of said they don't want people.
You can play Wolfenstein.
There you go.
They kind of said they don't want people messing with their video player code or whatever. So it's like now it just kind of you can link to an archive.org play online thing for it.
Twitter's response was constructive and straight to the point until they ran out of characters and never found out what the end of it
was. No, did you explain it? They're like, sorry, your game cannot be completed in less than 150 strokes on your keyboard. So.
So that was a weird
sucks.
One.
I wanted to play Halloween Harry.
In a tweet.
Or Monster Bash.
You wanted to tweet out Halloween Harry to all your friends.
See that new Jason trailer?
Yeah.
No.
He's got some fucking mode that he seems to be totally projectile invincible.
He just walks forward and gets super armor.
He appears to be completely projectile invincible, but has... the guess is that he has no dash or run in that
mode. And he walks slow as shit.
He just walks super slow. There's nothing you can do.
Jade's armor.
Yeah, but that
but
was a fast dash.
It seems like
no,
it's
he just
time.
This is
oh, wait,
no,
no, no,
she
no,
turned
she
it on
to, yeah, she
and
it
had it on for
things.
A few seconds
yeah,
to do whatever
no,
she wanted.
This appears to be
that
variant
seems to be
where he's
like,
just
persistent.
No, I'm just going to get in and there's nothing
like
you can
how Reptile
do.
Has the poison.
Yeah.
Also, his intro is that he's holding the head of like a
teenage girl mm-hmm. and just carrying her into the
body.
The whole body.
Yeah.
No, like gripping onto her head. Yeah, and her whole body's there. And he just throws her down.
And takes his machete out of her head.
Yeah, takes his machete out of his head.
The Go Hibiki style.
And then he says
nothing.
Yeah, there's no voice.
I can't wait for that.
Stop banging in the woods, Jackie and Takeda.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I mean, it was like a story thing.
Oh, my God.
I bet Johnny
Jackie,
got a good...
Jackie is like the girl that has sex, but she's also the black girl. Oh, you're a double victim.
She's super dead.
You're so fucking
dead. You cannot
dead.
Pick Jackie against Jason.
I can already see Johnny's thing. He's like, didn't I fight against you in a movie once? and then Jason all... just dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. I'm interested to see the writing for... because it's always... There's always a back and forth
and a response,
and Jason will never say a goddamn thing. So I'm eager to see what people's responses to his nothing.
I want to see Goro talk to him.
I want to see Goro.
I am Goro. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, Goro.
Nothing. We're a day late, but the whole stream of Jason is like yesterday.
Yeah.
So they're showing all of them there.
So that's good. So that's out, and you know that's your season pass money.
Did you see those terrible costumes? Really,
the horror costumes.
Did you see Reptile? Did you see him?
I don't even want to talk about
him. He's a full body, naked amphibian creature from the Black Lagoon.
So when everyone's like, no, less Reptile, more Ninja, here's a fucking monster Reptile.
It's the horror pack. So he's a merman, Ermac's a mummy.
Yeah, it was Jack.
Melina's evil queen witch.
He's not strangely attractive for a merman.
He is not strangely attractive for a merman.
So while we're talking about season passes,
I saw that segue.
Who wants to field this one?
Matt, you seem to be the WB master.
I would just start off by saying like every subsequent Batman game gets worse and worse DLC where it's. In the last one, they refused to fix the game.
So you just
to focus on the DLC.
Make sure to start with part one of this, then part two.
Yeah,
which is
the season pass for Arkham Knight costs $40.
Yeah, it costs $40, which is $10 more than Mortal Kombat.
And what was announced with that price when they first told you that it was $40?
It was nothing.
They didn't tell you.
And then they announced the details during the Pacquiao fight.
Later.
Literally during it. Yeah, almost as if so that no one would pay attention.
So you're getting a Batgirl campaign.
That's cool. You're getting new villain invasions.
There's a Batgirl campaign. It seems like there's going to be side campaigns for other characters.
You get a lot of PS4 timed exclusive thingies.
Skins.
Mm-hmm. A lot of retail exclusive things.
We're talking about the season pass. That shit sucks, you're right. But
you
like,
get racetracks. You get racetracks for your Batmobile.
You can't buy this one game in one place for one system and get everything.
You can go to GameStop.
Get the Watchdog.
You get everything.
There's retailer exclusive
stuff.
It's
only GameStop.
It's really because when I said the rest, it just said retailer exclusive, didn't say which one.
Well, those are all costumes, I assume, and those are...
It's still all.
Well, what if I don't want to go?
But like we're talking about the season pass. I agree that that's the word. That's the cardinal sin.
But Liam, what if I want to buy this game on PC? Which our local GameStop?
I don't even think sells PC. I just said
no.
It's
I'm
the cardinal
adding, no.
Sin.
I'm just setting it
but
up.
But let's talk
I'm
about
just,
the season pass.
Yeah, setting it up.
So like, I think the one thing we can say
is this the most expensive season pass ever.
Yes. No. Dead or Alive 5's is. And $92.
And Project Diva F2 is $90.
Yeah.
I believe.
Right.
No, this is the most expensive season pass about a game you care about.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it a lot, and, you know, the one thing about this one is there's clearly on paper a lot more content than most season passes.
They're tests.
This is just an objective. On paper, that's the way it is. For them to charge more, I still don't agree with it, because I feel like there are, like, two different kinds of season passes, and don't get me wrong, I'd love to live in a world with no season passes, but in the world where we do, I think there's two kinds, and the two kinds are the Killer Instinct, the Project Diva, the Mortal Kombat X season passes,
where
we can look at the list and we know exactly what we're getting.
Yeah, because they have to communicate that.
Because it's a song or it's a character.
Yeah, so MKs is expensive, but at least you know you're getting these characters, you're getting these costumes.
And I couldn't name games because I don't follow them, but I assume racing game season passes are the same thing, where it's highly objective. You're getting tracks and cars. And then, but then for like Batman and Bioshock and Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Bioshocks! Oh!
Stuff like that, where it's gonna be X campaign of question mark quality,
not
question mark
yet.
Length, question mark art, question yeah. mark content. There are so many question marks
yeah,
that
up
it's
until Saturday night,
to say.
It was like there will be content every 6 months. Like
no content wait, for 6 months
for the first
for,
6 months.
Yes.
Sorry, yeah.
So it's basically telling you
and,
to wait a year.
And then it said story campaign, mm-hmm. racing tracks, costumes, and that was it. Where's our $40? Mm-hmm. And now that we're getting to $40, you're
that's
almost
more than
selling,
half the price of the game.
But you're almost selling two games. You're close.
You're selling a $100 game.
Well, what does Batman actually cost for like let's say Americans? Because
Americans $60.
$60. Because
for
us
with tax costs,
yeah,
whenever $74 or $92 depending.
Whenever we refer to American prices, just to keep it simple here.
So you're $20 yeah. off the mark of just
and,
selling
and the
two
fucking
games.
UK season pass costs £40.
Yeah, that's legit. The UK market is legit.
Oh, man.
You can point to
Batman
almost any
also
game.
Sells,
and it's a
like
problem.
Every Batman game sells really well.
Oh, because it's rock steady.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, am
yeah.
I Irish?
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just,
he's doing it.
If this were $15 cheaper, I don't think there would be an.
There would not be a kerfuffle.
There wouldn't be an outcry.
For can there just be a and single fucking Batman game with no controversy?
Hey, will
there be?
Well, that's Arkham Asylum.
Asylum.
The original
it's
release.
Asylum.
If you're ever going to go back and play these, just play Asylum.
Here's my.
It will be the one you enjoy.
Wooly, here's my solution to you, and this is the solution that I am going to. This is my, like, this is the turning point for me, where it's I'm finally like, no, this is enough. Here's what you do: don't buy it for a year and wait for the Steam sale to come on that has all of it. For $40.
I don't care about ever playing this game.
Then never buy it.
Then just don't buy it.
I'm fine.
And I was like, yeah, I'll pick it up, and now I'm like, no, I'll pick it up in a year.
I'm so fine.
Because
like,
Asylum is the one that's actually like
amazing.
For Wooly's,
Asylum's
like a Metroid game.
Yeah.
And all the rest are kind of
and that's the one
games.
That I own.
City's really, really good.
Yeah. I have problems with City, but for story reasons.
Yeah, it's a really good game, but it's not Asylum.
It's an 8 to a 9, right?
Like, I'd say it's a 9 to a 10.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Even better. Yeah.
I'd say Arkham Asylum
but it's like
the best
it's fucking Batman. This is gonna sell. This is gonna work.
Well, and at the end of the day, it's
they
also
know they can get away
good
with
game
it.
Too.
They know they can get away with this.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's
had
too much.
People have problem with Mortal Kombat and being at $29. But again, they're said you're gonna get these four characters. You're gonna get costumes with each of these packs.
Yeah,
and then it's like that's it. And then there's probably be more DLCs in the future.
And to be clear, I hope that you're saying that in the stance of like you know that's a good way to announce season passes because like the content is very clear and
well,
cut.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's not an excuse for season
passes. No, no.
No game should have to have a season.
It
pass.
Is, but also that people had a problem with. That price point,
yeah, absolutely.
Because it's because it's $10 more than the MK9 one.
But $40 for this, and like it might not even be some stuff you care about. But in a fighting game, of course you care about characters. Of course you care about costumes. Well, and costumes maybe, but of course you care about that. But for Batman, like let's say you don't even like racing. Yeah. Here's racing.
I don't even
packs.
Fuck about race tracks.
It's tertiary content.
Yeah,
exactly.
Actually like for fighting games. It's like I actually care very little about costumes, but I buy them because I want to support the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the only way.
It's your tip jar.
Yeah. Pour one out for Sleeping Dogs and it's infinite DLC train.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And
no one's gonna do it like they did.
No, of course not.
I would have I never bought the fucking definitive version just because all of them were seemed like
it's
not
a good
great. But I always wanted
to. Yeah, the fact
that
the PC version of the definitive edition is apparently worse than the original game.
Yeah.
Is and the fact
really
you can't buy the original game anymore, you can only buy the definitive edition. Is a fucking shame.
Yeah.
It is a crock of shit.
I'll wait for the re-definitive version in the next console cycle.
Yeah. So I mean, okay. I think like the if you don't mind like a last word on this, I think you know obviously they're not going to go away. Season passes aren't disappearing. You know,
nope,
we all wish we could live.
They're
in
getting
a world.
More powerful, if anything.
Well, yeah. We all wish we could live in a world without them. I think, but I think the solution, if you want to keep doing them, is fucking show your content in as much detail as possible.
Maybe price
and on
a little
and
bit.
On the consumer end, it's like just don't buy the game at all.
Yeah. Sure, but like at least if you're going to offer a season pass, at least get in and show people
this is the cool stuff we're delivering.
Yeah. Instead of just a bunch of question marks.
I just feel like in the
and
case...
And a bigger question mark than last time.
In the case of Burial at Sea and shit like that with BioShock Infinite, I feel like Irrational's hands were just tied again.
Of course.
Yeah.
And
all of the developers.
You know what I mean?
No developers saying, let's do the season pass.
That's it.
Like,
that's it.
This
it's
is where
shit.
This is what the money looks like. You're going to have to bring in X amount of millions of dollars with this amount of resources. Go. Mm-hmm. We saw with Evolve. We saw with Evolve what happens when a developer tries to game the system with their publisher and make one part of it free like it always was. Is everything else gets overpriced by comparison.
It's really these two companies, Warner Brothers and 2K, really seem to be at the forefront of going, fuck it, no one will stop us. Just do it.
Yeah, congrats on taking it away from EA and Ubi, the usual evils.
So this quick story is more of just a PSA for everybody. If you're a fan of Rez...
I am a fan of Rez.
What? Are they taking Rez off?
No. But it's just, if you're a fan of Rez, then you probably know that if you get the Rez soundtrack, they fucking don't have the best song in the game on the soundtrack, Mindkiller.
They don't have Mindkiller on the soundtrack?
They have a weird version of it because of some, like, either legal thing.
But it's not there.
There's a problem, so they have
a
weird
mix. How am I
going to
know that Fear is the Mindkiller, Willie?
You gotta go read Dune. That's the only way. So it fucking sucks. It's a travesty that's been a crime for years. Someone has finally went and ripped the data.
I like that something's been a crime for years.
And no one stopped them. Yeah. And they've been selling, like, the Rez soundtrack is out there, and you have this thing called Fear Mix, which is a weird, terrible version of the song.
Okay.
So the real, true version of Fear is the Mind Killer has finally been ripped and re-pieced together with all its layers into a
remastered
5 minute
for a new generation.
Exactly, by this really cool guy, and I've linked to it, and, like, if you know Rez, this is important fucking news. Go get it.
You remember when Rez came out on 360 and we were all thrilled because, like, man, we could finally play this game on a modern system. Right?
Yeah.
My 360's in the closet. When are they going to put Rez on a modern system?
Well, yeah,
I guess so. I'm super serious.
You know, you could play it if you took out your 360.
Yeah, but you could play it if you took out
just
your Dreamcast, your PS2.
Just release.
Yeah, but then you don't have to,
games
you don't have to subject
time.
Yourself to playing the Dreamcast version.
It's true. But yeah, no, it's just like, there are games like these that they should just consistently re-release.
Well, tell Sega to release more games digitally instead of actually taking them away.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
What I actually want is a screensaver of traveling mode.
Yeah. Sure.
And I just let my computer load into that whenever
or
I wait 10 minutes.
Put a PC version.
Or just put Cosmic Smash.
God damn it.
Could you imagine, Willie, could you imagine what people could do to a PC version of Rez?
They could get the Transvibrator going again.
Yeah. They could do whatever they wanted. That's what they could
do. It'd be unbelievable.
I'm not sure if you said on camera really quickly, one of the weirdest moments ever I've had with Willie is when he just invited me over and the lights are low and he's like, let's play Cosmic Smash. And I was like, what? I've never heard of this. And he's just forcing me to play it.
He's
like, quiet. He's quiet. I'm like, what are we doing, Willie? I don't feel comfortable playing this game. It's kind of odd. He's like, no, Cosmic Smash. And we just played that for an hour. I'm like, I'm gonna go, Willie. He's like, yeah. It was so weird.
You loved it.
Willie was just spent.
I didn't have a bad time. I had a weird time.
You didn't understand what kind of time you had. Anyway,
speaking of weird games, did anyone play this week Agar.io?
No.
That game is fucking weird and great. It's a browser game that's super good. You play as a cell, and you go around picking up little cells to get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And the gimmick is that everyone else is a cell, and everyone's also trying to eat each other at the same time. Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
You will fucking pour time into that if you play it.
Sounds like a Katamari multiplayer.
A little. Much simpler, because you just point the mouse and
I will be the organism.
But I played it for... hours. That game's
can
super
you see
good.
My balls?
So,
eat your balls.
We are kind of running a bit low on time.
You
want
to jump over to emails?
No, because there's some good stuff to talk about, like what the geniuses over at the Killer Instinct crew are doing.
The KI crew.
The fucking okay. So one. You got the Cinder trailer officially out. We talked about Cinder. You got the Aria teaser at the end of that. It's
your anime zoner.
You got your JUT style, you know, shit
going
on.
Your Lambda or New 13.
Yeah,
that looks way cooler because our initial reveal was just
bald lady glowing eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was like
so.
That.
Yeah, so now it's like part robot tech suit something going on.
Awesome.
She's also confirmed to be the third announcer. So
yeah,
that's
her voice
really
is
cool.
Be the third female announcer.
You're
going to
have Hype Guy and Robot Girl,
mm-hmm.
which is perfect.
That's what I wanted.
Godlike combo.
So that's cool. And then you've got the final announcement on how they're going to be releasing the Shadow Jago skin.
Shago.
To the Shago skin. This is fucking Kim Possible?
No, people call him Shago.
Shago, yeah, okay.
Max calls him.
Yeah, the Shago skin is finally announced as to how they're going to sell it to you. And major kudos on making this an easy scumbag transaction in anyone else's hands, but they clearly thought about it and went, no, let's try to make this.
Because they put in some KI scummy. Gold. And
which is microtransaction
which
bucks.
Which is the microtransaction bucks for just accessories, right?
Mm-hmm. To buy.
But it's $20 worth.
Yeah.
So the pack is $20, but you get the Shadow Jago skin for free, which you can't get anywhere else unless you had the day one.
Right.
Day.
So, but on
which
its
is a prime way to piss people off.
On its yeah. own, that sounds gross. That sounds Ooh. Disgusting. But then they go, well, here's what's up. All the money in this for the first 100K that it makes goes towards the Evo tournament. As a pot bonus.
For pot bonuses for tournaments throughout the year.
Throughout the year to create a season.
I think it was 50K for Evo, the rest split. Yeah.
To create
so
a season.
So it's like you're not just
KI.
Getting the skin and
it's,
the thing.
The money
it's, you
is
are
going
actively
straight
making
into the,
Killer Instinct important.
Yes, yeah. It's a tournament initiative that's being run, and it's going straight into the tourney scene for that. Then they also announced that if we do hit that cap,
which they totally did immediately,
then they're going to develop Shadow Jago into a completely separate character.
Yeah.
From
all of his crazy broken moves and balance him.
Separate from Jago,
like,
actually.
I love how Max called it, he's going to be a real boy someday. Because now he's just a make-believe crazy boy.
Yeah,
he's going to be a real boy.
You know, and so they're going to do that as well. So it's really like a fundraiser thing that becomes profitable for them after they help out the community
first. Yeah.
Great.
So, on the Friday stream that Microsoft did with the producers, people went, do you think you'll make that cap 100,000? I don't know. And then some people were like, did you make it? And like, we just, that it started yesterday. We don't know yet. We'll have a solid answer for you soon. And that soon was like, literally yesterday, when they said, "Yeah, we made it in 72 hours,"
so they only needed like 5,000 purchases. So
pretty much for that pack, yeah, that's all you needed.
Yeah, so that's great. In a quick summary, I guess that screenshot of Halfbot's wrestling WWE beat 'em up game that's been going around Twitter, such a travesty. Halfbot pitched this game to WWE, and it looks kind of like a Scott Pilgrim
about it.
Visually styled beat 'em up.
It's a little cute SD John Cena and CM Punk fighting a gigantic Brock Lesnar boss, and he had like a huge
boss life
cool.
bar.
It's super cute.
Proving the fact that if you take the wrestling license and put it in other genres, you get gold.
That are not simulation.
Yeah. That are not simulation, you get gold.
And remember that there was that Power Stone one with the crazy mecha, mecha Baz. Mecha, Vince.
Can you imagine how good, like, a fucking JRPG around John Cena would be?
But their business guys are looking at Crush Hour and going, never again.
Yeah.
Never again. That's the problem.
But no, their business guys don't even know Crush Hour exists.
Give them too much credit, Wooly.
So there's that. There's a brief little tech demo that came out that's sort of Agni's Philosophy 2.
Again?
It's kind of little...
Using similar character design.
It's luminous. Things and stuff. That shit looks gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It makes Agni's Philosophy look like dog shit.
Make a game, Square
Enix. I really hope they're going to continue developing that world and character into a title.
Now make a game, Square Enix.
I like the title on its own. It's really interesting. I'd like to see that become something. You've got Swery confirming D4's coming to PC.
Woo! For the longest time, I was like, this isn't a confirmation. This is just him saying, I want one. And Microsoft never said anything.
Now it's confirmed.
Then it turned into a real thing.
And he thanks Obama.
And thanks Obama, and he also confirmed we're working on
more episodes.
Wow, that's cool.
Did they say anything about a Steam release?
He did.
He said we are looking at Steam or said something.
Because I was thinking, like, I was wondering if
games
this,
for Windows.
Well, I was wondering if this and like KI and Fable Legends were going to be the launch games for
those.
The
that would
for
be
the Windows
sending
10 game
those
platform.
Things out to die.
But they got to launch their platform with something.
No, they don't.
They don't. Absolutely.
I mean, they do.
No.
No, you're actually talking zero business sense, Pat. Like, you're
but,
not
yeah,
even
I don't care about their
business.
I'm a consumer.
No, I know. But, like, you're not even being constructive here. Like, come on.
We'll see.
Anyway, if they want we'll 4,000
so
sales for it, then they can
I had
send
thought,
it to
I had
the
thought
store.
They were maybe going to try doing that. Because the whole cross-buy initiatives between them and get people pushing in on Xbox
yeah,
because of
that's
that.
True too.
But... The sour mood that you guys had with like the fact that it's dead and not coming back with any sequels, finally, yay,
it's gone.
Yeah,
lift it up. So that's nice,
fantastic.
Sweary is a guy that it's fun to see him happy,
yeah. Of course,
wearing his JoJo hat or
and
whatever,
and
smoking cigars,
his monkey.
Yeah.
Fun to see him happy.
But he is a monkey.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, he does.
He carries a little stuffed monkey.
Oh, okay.
We got Playism fucking doing what hasn't been done. Being the first guys to officially bring Toho over to the West.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, so
the shitty Toho.
They're putting out... the one that Japan loves and not the one that Japan hates. No, they're bringing over Toho 14 and they're bringing over Taco Man. And it's just kind of like, is this going to fly here? I don't know. Liam, do you think it has a chance?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What is Toho?
Like, there's so many Japanese games on Steam now that, like, yeah, it'll totally.
What's a Toho?
And it's
fucking
Toho. Really popular.
Do they make Godzilla?
They make shmups.
No, there's a thing
with little girls in them.
The dumb.
Oh, the bullet hell shit.
Yeah,
that's doomed.
that should do good here. I totally think so. And I mean, like, they're gonna push forward with the console versions too. Like, Playism recently announced they're publishing 6 Japanese indie titles on consoles in the West, including like Astabreed and Qualler and stuff.
Astabreed.
So, you know, they're gonna make this stuff succeed.
Our friend
at Plays
of Nyan tweeted out a picture of the coolest picture of Doctor Doom I've ever seen. I have to link it to you because I saw it. Did you see it?
I think I didn't see it from his Twitter, but is it the statue?
No, it's a piece of comic art.
Oh, okay.
Doom is like down on the floor and he's like got his fist like in the floor and he's like looking up and I was like, oh, I gotta show this to Wooly, but then I forgot.
Okay.
But like, Toho is the kind of series, I'm sure you have this for yourself, Wooly, where like, at some point in your life there was a Japanese thing that you just wanted to give money to, but there was no way.
Impossible.
And like, there's so many fans of Toho. At conventions, what is the most organized setup at every convention?
The Godzilla
booth. It's the Toho setup. Ugh. Every fucking time.
So that thing that you want, that I wanted to give money to, that there was no way to do it years ago, was Cave Story.
There you go.
And that eventually.
And now you can give
a
bunch of money to Cave Story.
Yeah.
You can buy like 8 ways.
Give Pixel all the money you want.
Well, you can just buy a.
And now the frog one too.
Like, yeah, the frog
Carablaster,
one. Carablaster.
Yeah.
Carablaster. You can just buy that. Like a dollar goes to Pixel every time.
I never had that.
A way to support something and you didn't have the
well, you had
no
childhood.
No
well, no, because the idea is that if they don't want to let me support it, then fuck them.
Hmm.
It's like the Yakuza argument.
In some cases, the people making the game just don't have
the
means
to
translate it,
that's
and it's not your fault. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
Well, I'm not going to say fuck them for not doing it. It's not their fault.
Well, no, it's not their fault, but if I'm not worth their time, then they're not worth my money.
It's not that you're not worth their time, it's that they can't afford it.
If I'm not worth their money, then they're not worth my money.
The money that they don't have. The money that they don't have.
So you can support it or something?
Of course, I wanted the Yakuza 5 really bad, and then they finally did it. I was really happy.
Well, that's what we're talking about. This is exactly.
But I never wanted to give Sega money again, as they held it back from me.
It's also different if it's a company that has an American arm versus a random indie.
Yes,
guy.
Fair enough.
So you're coming from two different places here. Let's take letters.
Go.
Where do you send them?
Letters.
Superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. Here's some letters. It might sound like this.
Okay.
We have 10 minutes. To do letters.
This is fine, actually.
Go!
What is the most the Drake wants to know what's the most embarrassingly weeaboo thing you've ever done.
Oh. I got caught singing 2Mix songs on the Metro.
Oh, I thought it was someone watching...
with my headphones.
I thought it was everyone seeing you download Arcana Heart.
Yeah, no, that doesn't count.
What is the most embarrassingly weeaboo
thing? I was, like, humming along to, like, the Gundam Wing soundtrack on the Metro, and, like, with the lyrics, and people saw me, and it was bad.
I like me making tons of the Black Goku fan art. I don't know,
Liam.
I have none that are embarrassing.
Yeah, because he would never feel any shame.
Yeah.
have one.
Oh yeah, that's why he's been all quiet.
Do you have one? I have it's because you watched Naruto, right?
No.
Oh,
you know what, Willie? I've accused you of
Naruto.
Oh,
bad.
I guess my AMV being found out by everyone on the internet.
I
want to
point out in the past I've accused Willie. I've accused him hard of picking questions about hair and shit like that, so he can show off because he's not going bald. But this time, you clearly picked this question in order to out yourself. So all is forgiven.
This one's bad.
Go ahead.
The
floor is yours.
My graduation yearbook quote.
Oh, that's a good one.
Was written in Romaji.
Oh.
And it was really, really fucking bad.
What does it say?
It was grammatically incorrect. It was just a...
Oh, that's good.
It was a sentence. It was a quote. Oh, my... I can't. I can't do it. But it was in bad Romaji. In my yearbook, and I'm not going to say even what it was. I'm
Destiny
cringing.
Is Destiny, or
no, it was a quote that
no one will ever defeat Boruto.
Oh god!
I would be the Hokage.
Sand Village is number one.
I can't. I fucking.
What anime was it?
It was not from any anime.
What was it from?
Straight from your brain.
What was it from?
It was a quote from my dad.
Okay.
And it was just something that I...
And it just seemed cool to you at the time.
And it seemed cool to me at the time.
Yeah, I get you.
So I thought it would be a cool thing.
Yeah, right. I understand what
and
you're
I'm
saying.
Fucking... Oh.
We all have terrible yearbook
it's
quotes.
It's not... yeah.
I think mine is actually something similar to that, but I don't remember what it was.
Did you... Yes. You translated it? Really?
No. I think... I don't remember what it was. It was in Japanese. But I don't remember what I wrote because everything about that was disgusting.
I out of your brain.
No, I hounded the yearbook committee to take my photo out of the yearbook. I did not take part in the graduation.
Wow.
And I showed up to prom for 5 minutes and then left because I hated my high school so much.
Okay.
You actually asked for, like, give me the addresses of everyone that took the yearbook so I can steal it or burn it.
Yeah, well, I wish.
Yeah. I should have just did what my friend did, which is just quote letters A to Z and go, find your letters in there. There's your name. There's your shout-out.
You should have been like those cool Chinese girls that use the periodic table to quote rap lyrics.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's great. Nabil wants to know what your favorite AVGN moment is.
Yeah, favorite.
Super Mecha Death Christ.
Oh, that's a strong one.
Live like a Windrammer as you fuck.
Yeah, that's Matt.
Live like a Windrammer as you, but to be fair, that was just him reading a question on his email. It wasn't even AVGN mode. But I think one of my favorite ones is he beats Ghosts and Goblins on the NES legit and gets to the end and he goes, alright, now here's the final, like the second and final boss, Satan! And he starts throwing lances at him. He goes, oh yeah, I beat him. Oh, there's another one! And another Satan just jumps out. He's like, oh, jeez! And he starts throwing more at him. And it just his delivery on that is perfect.
Oh, no, you know what? You know what my favorite is? It's the gap in Ninja Turtles that you don't have to jump over.
You can just walk over it.
You just walk over it. That's my favorite.
You're not supposed to jump. You just
and the death pizza. Yeah. The death pizza, the pizza you can't
that,
get.
That episode was really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And also Schwarzenegger, when he did a bunch of Schwarzenegger games, he's like, this is Predator. This is a real man's game. You play this, you'll be a sexual tyrannosaur. Like me.
Mm.
I always like the Silver Surfer episode a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That one was really good.
That fucking music.
And the Top Gun one was good, too.
Top Gun one.
Oh, yeah, we can't land the plane. And then he lands it with a power glove like a champ because it's so bad.
The guy that wrote Live Like a Windrammer as You Fuck, that guy has a whole blog. It's called, like, Fight Me Strong Style blog. And all of it is just that stuff.
Okay.
Pretty legendary.
Yeah. I have to find that.
Mike Zero Dude sends us a letter.
He could just talk to any of us.
Yeah. I know, but
I was talking to him last night.
He felt the need to write in.
He's bad at Skullgirls.
So
I'm bad at Skullgirls too, but he's really bad at Skullgirl.
Great.
Ooh. There's my bad, so I'm not gonna front. I say awful shit I don't mean to people all the time.
Oh no!
How do you grow as human beings and not be jerks to other people?
Oh, you cut them out of your life and start over. Like, you burn the bridge, and you're like, I gotta find a new bridge.
You say horrible things, and you hope that in the future you come to understand what you said was horrible, and you don't do it again.
Mike Zero, the immature fact that you said that in the email is one good step towards realizing.
Exactly.
Look back on yourself 5 years ago and say, Was that good?
Almost everybody goes into an immediately defensive state whenever they're challenged with something, yeah. instead of going into a "was I wrong" kind of state.
I was wrong about something. It took me a long time to learn how to do that. I found out that I was a piece of shit all the time.
I think culturally we're grown to be always right. And to be afraid of being wrong, lest people judge us and think badly of us. And it's like, it's totally like,
here's a good example. You remember?
The world won't end.
Remember on an earlier podcast, I described the situation in which me and you got in a huge fight over me not liking co-op. And then in discussing that fight, I said that you were the problem.
Sure.
After playing Final Fantasy XIV, I have to remiss myself. No, I am the problem. It is me that is the problem with co-op. Not you.
Alright.
Isaac wants to know, we'll leave the survivor. I started making my own survivor pack. What are your tips for me and survivor techniques? Here's a good one that I recently learned.
Put a knife in there.
Yeah. When you've got your cool, like, fucking go bag thing ready to go and survive whatever's going on, take all your important documents and shit like that, make photocopies of it, put it in a Ziploc bag, and Velcro it to the bottom of your bag. So if some asshole comes to rob you for all your shit, you can quickly grab your important docs and have that. And they give him the bag.
Now, I want to point out, Wooly, that this is a disaster.
Or you lose the bag.
You are describing a disaster scenario in which you imagine civilization will reestablish itself.
Yes, that's correct.
If you are preparing for the actual fucking end times, this will not likely be useful.
My advice is make sure the bag is on the side of the house that will stay with you when the earthquake splits your building.
There's that, too. Sure. But
nothing
worse than losing your bag to the earthquake down there.
If you can afford it, get a satellite phone.
Alternatively, just put a gun in an empty bag, and then when you find Wooly, shoot him and take his bag.
Yeah.
No. He'll have his documents.
But I'll have my documents, though.
When you run outside your door, don't team up with any groups that have old people or children.
Yeah.
No, you want to team up with the gnarly freakazoids that are like, oh, are you guys going to become the villains in the road?
Yeah.
Because I want to be on that side
of it, not on the other side of it.
Rosie used to get really sad playing Donkey Kong Country 2 with her mom.
Is this a children's book you're reading?
Because I'm summarizing.
It would be great if it was Rosie got really sad when playing Donkey Kong 64, period.
I was gonna go for something like that.
Because whenever they get the game over screen, Diddy and Dixie in the
game
is really sad. What is the worst game over screen?
That's a bad one.
Mine is Final Fight. The fucking TNT on the chair.
No, but lots of people have.
But it's like you gotta blow it out or they die.
Yeah.
Every time you walk away from that cabinet, you killed.
Are we talking saddest, worst, or best saddest?
I guess saddest.
Because saddest,
depressing.
The future refused to change.
The future refused to change is a strong one.
Depressing. Friday the 13th by MJN.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
Funny, though,
and,
of
no,
course.
It's funny exactly, but it's like you are dead. Your friends and family are dead.
Game over.
Game over.
No, it just says you and your friends are dead.
Future you and your friends. Is that it? Okay.
Man.
Oh yeah, it was his joke that like extrapolated
your fucking pets are
getting
alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mom hates you.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Game over.
That ties into that other question totally.
And a special shout out to firing someone from your team in Baseball Stars, where you just get the saddest fucking gif of them walking down the road as you send them packing in their uniform,
uh-huh.
and the saddest little doo 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 doo.
Oh man, you know, this has nothing to do with anything, but how fast would you kickstart, oh, that's a baseball?
So fast.
Jaggers! Like, yes! Yes!
Actually, same thing as yours, Wooly, in Oreshka 2, that JRPG. When your family members die in that game, it shouldn't be sad because they're created characters, but it's sad every time.
Hmm.
I think Super Punch-Out, where Mac is just sitting on a thing, and he just, his eyes have that, the white halo anime eyes, and he's just like, ugh, and then he just looks down, and then a dark light closes on him.
Well, because if you let it happen, Captain Rainbow's universe exists.
That's true.
Carter says, I'm in Montreal with my girlfriend, and we're going to visit the Biodome Insectarium. Do you guys want to hang out? No,
but enjoy the Biodome, because it's fucking radical.
Biodome's fucking rad.
Pauly Shore was there.
See if you can find the sloths.
They're
tough to find. We still have the Lynx in there, right?
Because
Lynx are rad.
You can find them.
And lastly,
if you reach hard enough,
you can have them.
Lastly, Jeff wants to know, what's your favorite Cards Against Humanity card?
Oh.
Well, I know what Woolies is.
I don't know.
It's not the biggest, blackest dick.
I know.
It's shiny, but it's not the biggest, blackest dick. My favorite card is a mix-up between Pac-Man uncontrollably guzzling a ton of cum and Rush Limbaugh's soft, shitty body. Is really good. I'm a big fan of it.
I've only played the game like twice. I couldn't pick a favorite.
I think my favorite is Windmill Full of Corpses.
That's a good one. That's
because
good.
It's very versatile.
Solid.
I can't think of one either because the best game I ever had where I was kind of drunk, so I don't remember.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's
they're really good.
Just like, make one up strong. And it's fine.
I'll ask Takahashi. He'll remember.
Oh, it was then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the best game.
The best game. What are we watching?
No, that's the wrong one.
Wolfenstein, The New Blood.
That's out this week.
Isn't that the old blood?
It's the new old blood. That comes out this week, so I'm really excited to play that because I love the base game.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome. Absolutely. Standalone DLC like that?
And it's like a good long game, too.
Is it?
It's like at least like 6 or 7 hours.
That's good. Considering the price.
Now that I've finished Ready Player One, which was, you know what? Way better in the end. By the way, I forgot to mention earlier, the third act of Ready Player One is way cooler than the start.
Welcome to every sci-fi book. Like
it fucking picks up, man. I'm turning that like those criticisms around.
It's a real page turner.
I can't wait to see the adaptation now. Holy shit, that finale.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck. Yeah. You know why.
I know why.
You know why.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh my god, it starts writing for me. But anyway, now that I'm done with that, I'm going to finally start reading All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah, why not? It's better than the movie. It's way better
just
than
pretend
the
movie. It's Tom Cruise.
When you get bored of the book, just watch the movie again.
But I'm gonna tell you straight up, it's gonna be the opposite of Ready Player One.
That's fine.
Okay.
I just I want more.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, absolutely. It's cool, and the manga's like kind of worth like if you're really into it. Mm. The manga's really cool because it's what you wanted the movie to be because it's the proper like mech adaptation where they've got the six suits and stuff. You know, that's also there too, and it's pretty good as an adaptation goes.
Yeah. And I also went back and bought all of the Miles Morales origin books, and I just wanted to read them.
Yeah, go for that.
Now that Black Spider-Man's coming.
Never actually did, yeah.
It's
not Black Spider-Man, it's Black Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, Black Spider-Man.
It's
Black
Spider-Man. Asa Butterfeld.
This is the month of Black Spider-Man.
It is, in fact,
the
month of
Black
Spider-Man. I know that the Forerunner is a guy named Asa Butterfeld.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got butter in his name. Let's see what we can do with this. Put a little Spider-Man face on a stick of butter and you're done. Bam. It's great.
I'm going to keep choking on the VAT runoff that is Omega Quintet.
So
I don't know why.
What a hard sell!
Yeah, a lot of lore.
Just get the trough.
A lot of stuff about me and my like in this last couple of months. Just in the vents, hates big butts, and drinks from vats.
You know that vat where they boil the stuff?
Yeah, that's the vat.
It's better when you don't know what's in it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna dive back into Pillars of Eternity.
Is Witcher 2 not this week? It's next week.
Witcher 3.
It's 3.
19th. Witcher 3, sorry.
It's the 19th. It is. 3 weeks from now.
Still.
You said it was 2 weeks a week ago.
That's what I thought.
Oh!
Because I can't do math.
Yeah.
But
that comes out on the same day as another game. What is it?
Hyper Neptunia, whatever.
Neptunia. Yeah.
Me and Liam, I was talking to Liam about Witcher 3. I'm like, everything moved out of the way. He's like, not everything. And we go through the whole fucking release list, and he finds Hyperdimension Neptunia. He's like, see? Witcher 3 has some competition. I'm like,
That's like saying, hey, look, Avengers had a competing movie that weekend.
I'm going to dive back into Eternity, and I'm going to see if I can get started on Majora's Mask 3DS, which I never gave the time of day to because of Monster Hunter.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
It came out...
No, that overlapped like, pretty aggressively.
Every single time I pick up the 3DS, like, why would I play that instead of Monster Hunter? I was like,
but now that you've thrown away your copy to protect your loved ones...
Well, it's a digital copy. It's always there.
Hey, didn't they put out that theme for
the channel on the website?
On the channel, I hope everyone enjoys the new lore that is Suckles.
Enjoy it. It's happening
and Tails
now.
Holding the Bailet.
Oh, that's finally going, huh?
That was yesterday.
That was tonight. Okay, yeah. I was going to say.
That's a thing.
And Bloodborne will continue like forever, that game, obviously.
So, yeah, so
what a contrast.
That's a
what
contrast.
What a lineup. What a non-contrast.
Actually, that, this entire week, Bloodborne and Sonic Adventure.
Yeah,
we'll continue.
That'll be good.
And then we got Fisticuffs on Friday.
Indeed we do.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Or is it a Scrub Lords?
Ooh. I don't know. Have we even recorded it yet?
Is that the game that I showed you?
Okay, yeah, no, we haven't even done it yet.
I don't know
okay.
what he's thinking for
yeah,
it, so.
Okay, yeah.
We got some options.
Well, now that we have
Yeah, you do.
Now that we have this. Now that we have this fucking Xbox.
The Pro Box.
Infinite poverty.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all ready to go. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay.
Oh, you know what song I'm going to fucking use?
What song? Yeah.
Fear is the Mind Killer.
Oh.
It's the best.
The mind. Thriller. There is a mind killer.